Don and Mike Show.
Want to participate in a Don and Mike Show contest? How about this? You or a member of your household can only win once for 60 days. You must comply with any age limitations for each contest. For complete contest rules, send a self-addressed stamp envelope to the mighty WJFK, P.O. Box 3649, Washington, D.C. 20007. Thank you, and God bless.
Don and Mike, there'll be no mollycoddling.
Will you see if your mom can give my resume to Dennis Phillips? Because if I can get in a Broadway show, then I would have done it all. Film, television, and theater. The only thing left to be radio. That's just for ugly people.
This episode deals with the inappropriateness of racial invectives and contains coarse racial slurs. Your discretion is advised.
Everybody loves Don and Mike.
And yes, the rumors are true. They smoke, they drink, they use bad language in mixed company. They're extremely rich and they can flash more bling than most posses in this room. Rock stars they are, and God bless them for that.
Said this before, we never have to drive in the actual traffic that people are in when they're listening to our show.
And that's why we handle it so well when we do.
This morning, I drive carpool
every day.
I drive the morning carpool I have since my kid was in kindergarten.
Mm-hmm.
Today, what is normally a 40-minute drive took me 2 hours and 15 minutes.
Ooh. That's when I pull the car over to the side, get out, and walk.
Why is it that when there's an accident on one road, you turn around and it's like a huge conspiracy that suddenly every idiot in the world decides that today's the day that we're going to have an accident. No matter which way I went, there was an accident. Finally, we got by my kid's school. We got on the road to Bard School, and then I see a sea of brake lights. I mean, just a sea of brake lights. And this was the last one. There were three accidents. There was one on the Beltway, one on the road that we get to the Beltway, and then there was the one that was where you make the turnoff to get to his school.
That's everybody getting the sleep out of their eyes.
And and there was not even an accident. It was a car that had apparently stalled out. Now, it seems to me that you could have pushed the car out of the intersection.
Yeah, I wish they had buttons where there were like machines. You know, who needs police cruisers? Just get a machine like a forklift, and you simply move the vehicle out of the way.
Well, the guy was sitting there, and he had the hood of the car up, and he had the trunk of the car up, and he had his flashers on. He had that the thing that you put on your dashboard to keep it from getting hot in the summer that said, "Police, please help." And he had, this guy's really prepared for his car to break down. He had a white flag on his antenna.
Oh, God.
And everybody that drove by.
Meanwhile, he's doing all that and slowing up traffic instead of having the wherewithal just to push his car over to the shoulder.
Yeah. And he was giving everybody this look, because everybody, you know, it's like you're sitting and you're sitting and you're sitting, and it was an additional 25 minutes to go maybe a mile and a quarter to where I have to make a left-hand turn to get on the road that my kid's school is
and
on.
And everybody that gets up to that point when they drive by the guy, when they find out he's living, that's just not satisfactory for people.
You know, you finally get there, and not to be gruesome, but you want to see some carnage.
You want to see the big wreck that's, you know, screwed up the morning commute.
Especially when it's the third one of the morning.
Right.
And like I say, at this point it's been, we've been in the car an hour and 20 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And the kids are starting to run me an attitude like we're going to be late for school and stuff. And I'm doing my best. Just to go, listen, I'm doing everything I can do to get you there and not just throw you out on the side of the road and turn around and go back home.
Shut up.
We finally pull up and the guy's sitting there. And the guy is, I swear to God, eating a bagel and reading the newspaper with the hood up and the trunk up and his flashers on, just like, ha ha, how are you doing? So I had to be very discreet about it since there were children in the car with me.
I'm managing my stress level, even though I'm inconveniencing these millions of people.
You know, you finally get up to it and you see that it's not even a wreck, just some guy's car stalled out.
Yeah.
And keeping in mind that I want to keep the good example,
I had
to make this move. We finally made the left-hand turn around him, and then I said to the kids, I said, hey, Look at that car over there. Look at that red car over there. There was like a Ferrari or something. They all looked, and I turn, I give him the double pump. Hey, you!
Yeah.
What do you think about that?
Yeah. Hope you choke on that bagel.
What do you think about that? And I wasn't the only one. He was getting toots and people giving him dirty looks. Everybody's blowing their horn at him.
I don't get it either. I mean, especially if it's a level piece of ground.
Yeah.
Can't you just roll it a little bit?
You would think so.
Yeah. Unbelievable.
And it was right in the left-hand turn lane.
Uh-oh.
He was the first car in line.
Idiot. You know, it's not like something comes into the engine where all of a sudden it just completely blocks the engine.
Yeah.
Roll the car. Put it in neutral, for God's sake.
So listen, you know, all you people that drive in this crap every day, I frankly don't know how you do it, because I only have these misadventures every once in a while when the Beltway gets backed up.
You know, last time I did this, when we had that appearance up in Baltimore and they had the accident, you guys all took the one way around the Beltway and I took the other way around the Beltway, and I just want to say that that's not the way I drive normally. Mr. Aggressive Driver.
Hello, Donna Mycho. Yeah, what's with this aggressive driver imaging also?
Yeah, they're counting them out there. They're actually trying to nail aggressive drivers.
Yeah. Hello?
Donna Mike.
I don't dig that.
No, I think there ought to be...
Because I'm an aggressive driver.
I think aggressive drivers, you know, they ought to combat the stupid driver factor.
Yes, please. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hey,
Don.
Whoa, stupid, inconsiderate drivers.
Here. Buzz, you're so opinionated.
Oh,
hello?
Hey, how you doing?
Hey, we're doing great.
Good. I was just calling, wondering if y'all had that big poker game yet.
No, and you know what? It looks like I'm going to have to postpone it another week because everybody's having problems coming over Friday night.
Oh, wow. Oh, so I won't be left out.
Is Bart going to be able to play?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah, he's about the only guy. He and Rob and Buzz are the only guys that haven't canceled out on me for this weekend.
Oh, really? I'm sorry. I mean,
well, that's okay. I'm just adding you to the list of...
So a lot of people bagged out at the last second?
Yeah. So I'm thinking like next Saturday night, maybe.
I'm ready.
All right, guys. Thanks a lot. You guys are great.
All right. Thank you, my friend.
Right,
bye-bye. Bye-bye.
I'm waiting for that. I'm practicing. I'm practicing my shuffling, which really, my motor skills are so... Do you know how to shuffle?
Yes.
Like you can shuffle well?
I was a magician. I can do the card fans.
See, I'm still practicing every day, and my fingers just don't seem to work.
No, Rob, not that I don't think it wouldn't be a great poker game with just you and me and Buzz. But no, Rob just gave me a note, can I still come over Friday? No, I don't think so, Rob.
An evening with Rob.
I think we're going to wait. I think I need more than just you two guys. No offense to you two guys.
Yes.
It'd be kind of a girly poker party with just Buzz and Rob.
Yeah. And if it was just Rob, it would be an evening with Rob. You can see an evening with Rob also on the Bravo channel.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hi, guys. How are you all?
Hi, we're doing great, thank you.
Just want to let you know that I love your show.
Thank you. We appreciate that.
I had a couple of things that I wanted to tell you about today. First of all, Joe Montana and his wife were on Howie Mandel this morning.
No, another one of the shows. Another one of the million TV shows out there.
And the other thing, I wanted to see if you guys would say hello to my boyfriend. He's in jail.
What did he do?
DUIs.
Oh.
Yeah, sure.
Sure. How you doing? Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hey, Don.
Hi there.
How are you today?
We're great, thanks.
Hey, just a little PSA for those buffoons out there in the mornings and the afternoons when they're driving and they get in a little fender bender.
Yeah.
The law provides that you don't have to wait for a police officer. You can move to the shoulder. You don't
have to
that's
what
there.
It is, right? That's probably what he thought. He said if he moves it.
Yeah, but he wasn't in a wreck, though. This was just a guy whose car had stalled out on it.
And he was eating a bagel. That's what
and reading the newspaper.
Sure, man, that would kill me.
With a real happy, retarded smile on his face. with the flashers on and the big thing, call police on the dashboard, and a hanky on his antenna.
And the guy, the expression on his face saying, I can handle people giving me abuse.
Hey, look at this. It was a real crappy car, too.
That's when you hope a crappier car comes up in back of him, maybe gently nudges him to the shoulder.
Hey, Don?
Yes.
Hey, one last thing, and I'll let you go. Last week I called, I was 100 caller, and you hung up on me.
You know what's incredible? When somebody calls a radio station and says, one last thing, and I'll let you go.
Uh-huh.
Isn't that kind of like our job?
Right, and that was the one last thing, and I let him go.
You let him go, Don.
Hello, Don and Mike Show. I took the hook out of his mouth and threw him back.
One other thing, and I'll let you go, because I'm running your show.
The other thing that, thank goodness our callers don't do this, that I hate about radio, here's my question. What do you think about Bill Clinton? I'll hang up and listen. Right? Oh, come on, F you, Mr. Professional Caller. I'll hang up and listen so as not to tie up the lines to be a professional caller.
That's right. This is my 400th talk
on the radio. Right? I hate that when that happens.
I'll hang up and listen because I need two hands free for this procedure.
Hello.
Hi, Don. Hi, Mike.
Hi there. Hi.
Moist humidors to you. Pathetic losers out here who live through your show. Would you mind giving us an update on your brother, Don, and what's happened to him lately?
I'll
hang up and listen. Thank you.
Well, please don't hang up. And I would give you the update if I could speak to my brother. My brother's telephone again has been turned off, I'm guessing, because he couldn't pay the bill.
When's the last time you talked to him?
On the show? Whatever that was like.
Wow.
3 or 4 months ago, man.
Yeah, no phone service.
Right, so I don't know. I did think about writing him a letter briefly last weekend, but then...
Find out if he's still alive.
Something good came on TV, and I was distracted.
There you go.
The Big Lebowski came on TV, and I was distracted. Hello, Don and Mike Show. Hello? Hi.
Yeah, hello.
Hi.
Hi, this is... I'm calling to know if you wish my son happy birthday.
No.
No?
No. Don't think so.
Okay.
Well, yeah, that's such a terrible reaction. Yeah. You're supposed to get mad when he says that.
I'm kidding.
I'll get ready to tell you, you suck and hang up,
Ben. How many, just out of curiosity, how many vodkas did it take to make that call?
No, I don't think so.
Okay. Listen, of course, see, when you got on the radio and you said, would you wish my son a happy birthday, in essence, you've already done that, which is why I said no.
What is your son's name?
Hunter.
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 Hunter. Hunter.
Mm-hmm. Hmm. Nice name.
Interesting.
Okay, well, happy birthday to Hunter.
Okay, thanks a lot.
Bye-bye.
Rule.
Bye-bye.
Thanks.
Thanks. Thanks for not saying we suck. Hello, Don and Mike.
Am I the only one that thought she was loaded? I guess so.
No.
Come on.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Why are you hanging me?
By the way, something.
Why do you care?
Hello.
Hey, that kid's not going to get ridiculed too bad being called Hunter when he grows up, huh?
No, Hunter's no worse than Cody or Wyatt or any of the other ridiculous
Scout. Yeah, it's good.
Scout runner.
Yeah, but I figure there might be a little truth in that. That's
Velveeta.
That guy Hunter Thompson always ended up as wasted as he was.
Mm-hmm.
You know, with Montana, I guess a couple years ago on the Oprah Winfrey Show, they had a First Wives Club thing. And I guess he was so gutless that he left his wife a note in the mailbox saying how he wasn't going to be coming back and that their marriage was over.
Imagine that. Wow. The greatest football player of all time. A man who stood against the blitzes of the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Lonely Montana made his way to the mailbox. There he left a wussified note leaving his wife without any physical confrontation.
And also, I'm out here in Sacramento, and they've been promoting all week how they were going to run the baseball games and stuff. And sure enough, they ran your show. Instead of running the game, they're going to run the evening game.
Well, good. Who the hell in Sacramento cares about the New York Yankees?
Yeah.
Well, that's a smart move.
Pro football is a game.
Hold on a second. Hold on.
Not a war. It's for win or lose, not life or death. But say that in the summer. Well, winter brings the playoffs, and a season is at stake.
I'm trying to find a music bed so we can do a Joe Montana riff. I got my NFL music out here about him being afraid to do that to his wife. Number 16 walks up to the mailbox.
Lacking the physical courage to confront his wife directly, he pens a note, a Dear John letter.
Dear Gladys, I have met a piece of ass while doing a Gillette Foamy commercial, and I want a divorce.
Slowly, Montana slid the note into the mailbox, jumped into his overpriced vehicle, and sped away.
Suddenly, a squeal of the brakes, and Joe Montana from the University of Notre Dame, in one deft move, reached out and pulled up the red flag to alert his wife that there was a Dear John letter waiting for her.
A surgeon on the gridiron, a total wuss in real life.
Joe Montana, Super Bowl quarterback, Robo Pussy.
Man, that is really lame if he did that.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a good 2 or 3 years, how old is it?
Is that true? Not that it matters, since we say stuff all the time about celebrities that aren't true.
On the Oprah Winfrey Show, it must have been 7, 8 years ago.
Well, anything here on Oprah's gospel, you know that.
Well,
thank you.
Okay, thank you. And one last thing.
Yes. No, forget it. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hi.
Enough with the one last thing. Hello.
Hi.
Hi.
Hi. I'd just like to defend that lady who was talking about Bob Costas. I love Bob Costas. He's a very, very knowledgeable man. He knows the sport of baseball and basketball. However, you got to admit, when it comes to being in the up there bong club, he's right up there with that guy on the NBA today. What's his name?
Ahmad Rashad?
Yeah, he's right up there.
There are so many other sportscasters that you can dump on, but it's just Bob Costas is really good. He's one of the last ones that's really one of the great ones, because they're all being replaced by ex-jocks that just don't cut the mustard.
Ahmad Rashad
lives
in Michael Jordan's ass. That's why we say that about him, because he's Michael's butt boy, and then when Michael wants to do a softball interview, he does it with Ahmad Rashad. Now, Bob Costas, on the other hand, is not afraid to ask some big dumb athlete a question that might hurt the big dumb athlete's feelings.
Sure.
I know I've seen Bob Costas ask those tough questions before.
Oh, just one last thing. Hi, Rob.
Stop it with the one last thing. Now, sometimes Bob Costas is a little too cerebral for me. Sometimes
he gets a little highbrow.
Sure. You know, when he gets on his Shakespeare horse, I got to hit the mute button. But generally, he's a pretty good announcer.
You might say that when he's doing that, he's kind of bringing balance to the whole thing. Because, I mean, you know, there used to be guys that were broadcasters first, and, you know, it's going away. Bob Costas respects, like, the older broadcasters that really used to, you know, on radio, used to really try to paint a picture.
Do you miss Marv Albert at all?
I already hung up on that guy, Buzz, like two calls ago.
No, I was talking to you.
Do I?
Yeah.
No, I never liked him to begin with.
Okay. I'll take a bite out of Cron.
Hello, it's Don and Mike Show. Hello?
Hello.
Hello there.
I was calling about Dan Marino and Joe Montana. A couple of years ago when they were in a Super Bowl together, the United Way tried to get him to do a live spot, and Dan Marino refused to do the interview because it would not pay.
Yeah, that doesn't surprise me at all. You know, when we saw Dan Marino at the Super Bowl, the only time you got him to respond was when you mentioned his commercial, and he stopped dead in his tracks.
Yeah.
Right, because I said, hey, you're the guy with the remortgage your home commercial.
I just thought I'd throw that in there. I also wanted to say something. I'm going to hang up and I'll see you guys, all right?
Please stop it.
The autumn wind is a pirate, blustering in from sea. With a rollicking song, he sweeps along.
This was written by Bob Costas.
Voicelessly. His face is weather-beaten. He wears a hooded sash with a silver hat about his head.
Marino said no. Pay me.
The most mercenary whore in the NFL.
Someone said to Dan Marino, sign my hand. He said, yes, that will be $300.
For the Miami prodigy who would get paid to take a bowel movement if he could, this was nothing out of the ordinary.
Number 13 on the gridiron, when faced with a room full of crippled children who wanted a moment of his time for the United Way, said, where's the effing money?
Dan Marino. If it's green, he'll show. Otherwise, screw you.
Dun, 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 dun.
That football music's the best.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hey, Don and Mike. I support Joe Montana. He did the right thing, because look at Phil Hartman, you know? Phil Hartman said, hey, honey, I'm going to leave you, and then boom, he's no round around anymore.
Difficult point to argue with.
Yeah. Oh, listen, about Phil Hartman, I wish they would stop milking this thing with John Lovitz replacing Phil Hartman. He already had to go through the whole thing last week on News Radio when it was, you know, we say goodbye to Phil Hartman.
Oh, yeah.
And now this week it's, you know, your friend.
I'm still going to watch that show now. Yeah. I'm going to be more into watching that show than I would have been before. I mean, nothing, you know, the late Phil Hartman. Sorry, he will be missed. But I'll tell you, I like John Lovitz in anything he does.
Always makes me laugh.
No, you guys are alone on that island.
You're not a Lovitz fan, huh?
Never have been, Mike.
That's because you're not an actor.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
What's up, Don and Mike?
Hi there.
Hey, just chilling, spending with my girlfriend.
Right on.
Yeah. Hey, we're a little busy. She's, I don't know if she's about to get a stain on her blue dress.
Oh, you're a little busy right now as we speak?
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Yeah, you getting some?
Man, I'm trying.
You're getting busy, like, right now?
Right now.
Is your girl...
She's giving me one of them presidential specials.
Why don't you put her on the telephone?
All right, hold on a second.
Well, it's not polite to talk.
Buzz. That's like his friend,
dirty Buzz.
Hello.
Hold on.
All right.
She's getting a little shy. Come here.
What?
Come here. Hello.
Hey.
Hey, baby.
Hey.
What are you doing? Are you servicing your man right now?
Yeah, trying to.
Really?
Trying to.
Trying to. How long does that normally take?
Not very long.
Not very long.
Not very long.
Really?
Who's the celebrity that you think you most resemble?
I don't know.
Mm. Are you good at what you do?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
All right, why don't you go get back to work?
Okay.
And give him the phone back.
Hey.
Hey. You know, this could be like, you could get the same rush right now that Clinton got when he was getting a Monica, when he was talking to Squarehead Trent Lauder, whoever he was.
It's odd, though. Is it enhancing the experience talking to us?
Yeah, we got the beach towel out.
See, I would have a hard time concentrating.
Sure.
I can't have like a TV on or music on or anything when I'm having juicy relations with Frida. It's kind of strange.
I got skill.
You what?
I got skill.
You got skill?
You got skill.
Yeah.
I think really, if you get into it more with, you know, talking to a couple of guys on the phone, you know, that might mean you have a little gay in you.
Nah.
I like that. Everybody's got a little gay in them. I told Chastity Bono it was 5% gay, but really it might be more like 15 or 20%.
If he wasn't having trouble before, he might be now.
I tell my girlfriend, ain't nothing wrong with a little carpet munching every once in a while.
Oh, really? So you've asked your girlfriend perhaps to bring another woman into the bedroom?
Yeah, I tried, but she didn't get into that idea too much.
Is she doing it right now?
She kind of got mad at me for putting her on the phone.
So she stopped?
Yeah.
Oh.
Are you able to maintain your level of arousement while speaking to us?
Oh, yeah. It's still going. I just got a good taste of blue balls now.
Oh, my God. All right.
Very scary.
Goodness. Thank you. Larry Flint Jr. checking in. You remember him from yesterday's show. Hello, Donna Mike Show.
Yeah, I got a question and a comment, and then I'll take it off the air.
What
were you saying?
I got a question and a comment for you, then I'll take it off the air.
Okay, no, he's doing the thing about the caller. I got a question and a comment, then I'll take it off the air.
Yeah, take it off the air.
Hello? Dynamite. All right, one last call here. Hello. Dynamite Show.
Hi, I just wanted to call and talk to Dynamite and tell him what me and my boyfriend do when we play with the phone.
How old are you?
I'm 19.
19. She's a rookie, Mike.
Hey, 19.
So you guys do what?
When my boyfriend's on
Your boyfriend's not over 30, is she? Is he?
No.
Okay. How old is he?
Not quite.
Is he a high school boy?
No.
That's from Fast Times at Ridgemont High when what's her name?
Phoebe Cates, right?
She says, "I don't date high school boys." He's a high school boy.
Sure.
She's going out with the guy from Circuit City or
the stereo salesman. You know,
he's a stereo salesman.
Okay, what were you going to say there?
It's my first time calling, so, but when I'm giving my boyfriend a moniker, we play this game where he's on the phone with his friends, and we can see how long he could stay on the phone.
That's very nice, Whore. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Not a day over.
See you later.
16.
See you later, right? I had the same thought, Buzz.
We are coming
right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show. At every high school, there's one girl every boy notices, every male teacher looks at, and every man wants. She's the naughty cheerleader. She starts playing out on the field and then finishes the game inside. The naughty cheerleader. She's just a cute and curvy 16-year-old girl, but oh, what she's thinking, and how she turns men on. The naughty cheerleader. She gives her school team their spirit, and when she gets going before the game, there's no stopping her. The naughty cheerleader in her cute school outfit with a tight top and short skirt. Every eye is always on her, and she knows it and loves it. Why don't you let her turn you on, too? The naughty cheerleader, the girl of every man's wildest dreams. Don't miss The Naughty Cheerleader, rated R. No one under 17 admitted without parent, from Independent International.
They're rich, they're beautiful, and now they're looking for some new kicks. Three gorgeous sisters and their governess, who are ready and willing to try it all in a new motion picture with a different twist.
A family that plays together is a very groovy family.
Don't miss The Swingin' Pussycats, the amorous adventures of four sex kittens who decide to stray from pad to pad to pad to make life more terrific.
Mama told us a man should get all he wants.
The Swingin' Pussycats are the perfect household pets, trained to purr and please. Just ask the man who's had one.
I can't believe that's the whole thing.
The movie with a whole lot of everything. The Swingin' Pussycats, in color from Hemisphere Pictures.
Adult motels were never like this. Here's a story about the wackiest, sexiest, fun-filled place to take your girl. The Groove Room. A place where lights flash, machines spark, and the people get more turned on than the electricity. The Groove Room. Somebody just had to invent a place like this. It's the special place that every modern loving couple is looking for, and it has some extra equipment all its own. Open the door, hook up, switch on, and then blast off for the wildest fun thrills of your life in the Groove Room. Don't be embarrassed. Ask the next pretty and sexy girl you meet to join you in the Groove Room. You'll both never regret it or forget it. Come on, take off your inhibitions and have some fun in the Groove Room. The Groove Room, all new in color and rated X for adults, from Independent International.
The Don and Mike Show.
Say, baby, hey. Girls say.
God smiles on them, then God laughs at them. Don Geronimo and Michael Merry.
Joining us now, it was very exciting to have a celebrity here right at the beginning of the show. So yeah. We don't have to like talk about our tragic lives. Here is Chastity Bono, right? Isn't she marvelous? Hi, Chastity.
Hello.
Chastity looks like she was on that other show.
Yeah.
Did you have a good time?
Which other show?
The show that was on, you know, before our show.
The G-Man.
You know, the G-Man. How was it?
Okay. All right, enough said. Well, I think you'll find things a little more freewheeling on this show.
Of course.
Chastity Bono.
Let's just say I've never heard the word homosexual used so many times in quite the same tone as I did on that show.
Yeah.
Really? Well, you won't hear that here.
No way.
You won't hear it here. We're not out to bust your balls.
I don't think he was trying to bust my balls. I think that he was trying to be as unbiased as he possibly could. I really did get that.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, he's still pretty biased.
Well, we love gays, and we especially love lesbians on this show.
Oh, we certainly do. Always have.
Let me get a plug in for your book here. Your book is called Family Outing.
Yes.
Chastity Bono's book, and we'll talk about that in a second. I want to ask you, there's so many questions that I want to ask you. Because, of course, I'm like everybody. I watched Sonny and Cher.
Right.
And I saw when they held you up on TV and junk like that. You know, you don't seem to be screwed up from having been on television, but your parents didn't parade you out like the way that Kathy Lee does with Cody. Have you ever seen Kathy Lee do that? And have you ever thought, boy, you know, that kid's going to be screwed up?
No, to be honest, I don't really watch Kathy Lee. It's a little saccharine for my taste.
Yeah. I watch it every day. I love it.
It's so bad, it's good. It falls into that category. You'd enjoy it.
I did it once.
You did their show?
I did their show, and when I was promoting my record, I did their show. I had mono at the time, and
it's good to do that show with mono.
Yeah,
I think.
And I was feeling terrible, and I remember just walking back there, and LaToya Jackson was the guest on before, and as she walked past me, it was kind of like a, you know, and then I was like, got my composure, and I was okay. Yeah, hi, nice to meet you. But up close, it was frightening.
Well, if you had mono,
she's like a mannequin, right?
Yeah, she's almost as bad as her brother Michael. So, but up close, it was just like whoa.
I was going to say, if you have mono, I hope you gave Regis a big kiss.
So listen, Chastity Bono here. She's written this book. She, of course, is gay. She was outed by, I'll just give a brief bio.
Sure, go ahead.
She was outed by a tabloid, and she decided to come out. Now, here's all the questions that I want to ask.
Okay.
Okay? First question is about your mom.
Okay.
About Cher. That she was not supportive at first when you were gay, but now I've seen you guys on TV together, that like she's going to fundraisers with you and junk like that.
Right.
So she's turned a corner, she's okay with that now?
Oh, she's great with it.
So she found out when you were outed by the tabloid?
No. She knew before that.
She knew before that?
Yes. Everybody in my family knew before that, thank God. Otherwise, it would have been an even more nightmarish experience.
And how long did it take for your mom to come around and to accept the reality of the situation?
Well, the initial acceptance was really very quick, about 2-3 days.
Mm-hmm.
And then it really took my acceptance of myself. And when I came out publicly in 1995 and started working as an activist, and it was really the first time I started sharing my life openly with her, and it completely changed the nature of our relationship. And you know, that was one of the reasons why I wanted to write this book was because, you know,
that's a plug bell. You just mentioned your book.
Anytime you mention the book, you'll hear that bell. Family outing.
You know, because I never imagined that we would have the kind of relationship, you know, that we do today when I was growing up. So, you know, I wanted to try to help other families achieve that and get through this very difficult process.
And every night all the men would come around.
Lay the money down. We always do our
We love your mom's records. Okay. We really love your mom's records.
We're Cher fans. You know,
and your dad, too. Your mom and your dad. They made good records together.
They did, yeah.
Now, you know, there's all this stuff that's been written about your dad since his untimely demise, and we won't even get into that. I was reading something, I guess it was in People or one of those junky, shiny magazines about you. Well, you said that you haven't yet found the silver lining in the fact that you didn't talk to your dad for, like, the last year of his life. Do you think there ever will be that, or?
If it said that, it had to have been something like People, because that is so hokey.
I think it was one of People, Rob.
Yeah,
it was People.
Yeah, they love those crappy metaphors. Anyway, there's not a silver lining. All you can do in those type of situations is try to learn from them and not repeat the same mistakes, and that's it. You know, I mean.
One more question about your dad.
Okay.
All this stuff with your mom and with your dad's wife, all the stuff that we're reading about Cher feuding with your dad's wife, is any of that true?
I have no idea. I mean, not that I've been aware of. So I've never heard that there was anything in the press or anything.
What's your relationship with Mary Bono like now? What's that like?
You know, I try to keep in contact with her and the kids, and I mean, you know, she's the mother of my brother and sister, so you know, I definitely want to maintain a relationship with that side of the family. And
are you comfortable with her decision to go ahead and run for Sunny's seat in Congress?
Yeah, I was totally comfortable with that. I mean, you know, I think all power to her.
Okay.
You know.
Will you date now? You gonna tell us?
No.
Can you tell us the celebrity she most resembles?
Can't think of one, really.
All right, here's another question for you. This is another lesbian-type question for you. It's a game we play on our show all the time called Who Would You Do?
Okay.
So let me give you the choice. Who would you do, Anne or Ellen?
Anne, absolutely, without a doubt.
Good choice. Good choice, Chastity.
Bravo.
Agreed.
Not even, she's probably top of my list.
Anne is top of my list. If Anne's listening, maybe she could call in.
Yeah, if she's driving around in Oxnard.
I'm probably bottom of her list, though, after some of the things that have happened between me and Ellen.
This is another thing that I read in the Glossy magazine. But I know this to be true. You were like some kind of consultant on Ellen's show, right?
Yeah.
Did you ever fallen out with her?
What happened was while I was working as GLAAD's entertainment media director, I started a campaign, a media campaign, ad campaign to try to do everything we could within the community to try to keep the show on the air. You know, this was after the ratings started to fall way down and ABC was talking about, the possibility of it being canceled.
That's when you said something like the show's too gay?
I did an interview about that and, you know, we talked about all the important reasons that we were trying to keep the show on the air, and then he said, well, why do you think the ratings have slipped? And I gave a bunch of different answers, one of them being that I thought it might have become a little too gay specific for mainstream America. And the next day I was on the cover of Variety saying Ellen is too gay. So that was kind of what happened.
Well,
there.
Did you believe that though? That because I know we've discussed that on this
we thought that it just wasn't funny.
Tried to be more funny and maybe not as much you know issue-oriented as they were.
Yeah, I think it became very issue-oriented. I think, you know, Ellen coming out publicly late in life and you know finding out a lot of stuff about, you know, the way that gays and lesbians are treated in this country and having a television show, this wonderful forum, I think she wanted to tackle a lot of issues, which, you know, was noble, but you know, with a sitcom, you've got to keep it funny and every show can't be issue oriented. You've got to really pick and choose and strategically place those in there. And
Best thing she could have done for the cause, probably keep the show at the top of the ratings
and
keep it funny.
Keep the show on the air. Right. You know, that was really all I was saying when I made those comments was, you know, I would have rather had less shows dealing with specific gay topics and have the show on this season than, you know, than not have the show on the air.
Mm-hmm.
You think everybody is a little bit gay? I've made the statement on the air that I believe I'm at least 5% gay.
Well, I don't. I mean, there's so many different scales now that they're judging sexual orientation on. I mean, there's kind of that, you know, the most, I think, well-known one is you know, you look at absolutely heterosexual as 1 and absolutely homosexual as 10, and, you know, where you fall somewhere in the midst of that.
I'll tell you something. When we had the National Gay Square Dance and Rodeo out in our parking lot, and we had everybody that was not a homosexual.
We were gay for a day, all
we were
of us.
All right. Gay for a day. I want to tell you something. There was not an unhappy face in that crowd, yeah. As far as I was concerned.
You would have probably loved the show we did when Ellen had her coming out show.
Uh-huh.
You know that old jive showbiz thing, Night of 100 Stars?
Sure.
Right, well, we had the Night of 100 Lesbians. Yes. When we had 100 lesbians. Actually, I think the final count was like 73 or 74. Yeah. Came
two,
down,
two dropouts at the last minute.
And we had a big lesbian party on the air, and they were all here for the
yeah.
premiere of Ellen's show.
Well, we did parties all around the country, and we had all the cast members at them except for Ellen herself, and it was great. I mean, they were just a blast.
Mm-hmm.
So it was a really exciting time and really fun to be involved in from a work standpoint.
You tired?
A little bit.
Yeah, a little bit.
Do I seem tired?
Well, no.
Or is it the bags under the eyes?
No.
Actually, you look good. You
okay.
sound tired. You
okay.
sound like you maybe. Have you done a lot of these interviews? Do you get to a point, because you are on the front line and because you're so active in the cause, do you ever say to yourself, you know, why didn't I simply come out, you know, and just be done with it? And then just go on, and because it can be obviously difficult to be running, you know, point for this all the time.
Right. No, I mean, when I came out of the cover of The Advocate, that's really what I thought I was doing. Mm-hmm. I thought I was just going to come out. I wanted to be done with it. I didn't want to have the tabloids following me anymore. I just wanted to live my life and, you know, not have to talk about it. And, yeah, yes, it's true. I'm gay. Leave me alone, kind of. And then I started getting calls from different organizations. And, you know, I started learning things about the way that gays and lesbians are treated in this country. And, you know, one of the first things that was so shocking to me was that there's not a federal law that protects gays and lesbians in the workplace, and that in 39 states it's legal to fire somebody just for being gay or lesbian. Mm. I just couldn't believe that. It seemed so unbelievably un-American. And
it's hard,
you know,
to believe too when you really think about
it.
It really is
hard to believe. I mean,
it actually happens.
Yeah, it does. I mean, I've seen you know, copies of documentation where it will say, you know, purpose of termination, homosexuality. And I mean, it's unbelievable. And you know, and then I started finding out about the higher suicide rate among gay youth and the higher homeless rate among them. And you know, it just got me to want to do something.
So you don't.
So I don't regret it.
Okay. And you are not bisexual. You're...
No, I'm not bisexual.
Totally lesbian. Did you go through a period where you were bi for a little while?
No.
No, never?
I mean, I slept with a man once.
How was it?
How was the experience, Chastity?
It wasn't awful. It was...
You sound like my wife, for goodness sake.
That is amusing, because we've had so many lesbians on the show, and I think we probably ask that question whenever we have a lesbian on the show, and it is so funny to hear that, because we guys, you know, because it's always an answer like that.
Yeah.
It wasn't awful,
well,
but
geez. I mean, the physical sensation, I mean, that's really how your body is designed,
sure,
for that to feel good.
Right,
so,
right.
But
yes.
But it wasn't, you know, it just wasn't the same thing for me as it is being with a woman.
And so when you were with the man, is that when you knew 100% when you said, oh, this was just this?
Was the man's name Charlie Stossel?
No.
See, he's a guy who's on our show. He's a movie critic.
Uh-huh.
And we kid him because his wife left him because she found out that she was gay.
Okay, no, it wasn't Charlie.
It was not Charlie Stossel.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
But I knew absolutely that I was gay before I did that, but it was kind of, I was young at the time, and it was that, I was hearing a lot of, well, you know, how do you know if you haven't done it, and I really did it because I wanted to say, okay, I've done.
So you really knew beforehand.
I really knew beforehand.
You just wanted to
do
it so you could say, okay.
So I could say that.
That's
and
good.
And I guess, you know, maybe there was not doubt in my mind, but, you know, I mean, most people, you know, especially when you're first coming out, it's the last thing you want to be is gay. I mean, mm-hmm. The last thing you want to be is in a place in our society where you're looked down upon and you're discriminated against.
I think that really speaks to when people are talking about the conscious choice, and that's the great debate in America as far as whether it's something biological,
whether you
something
choose it or whether you just
and I think anybody that sits down with a person who is gay and really has a serious conversation with them, which everybody should do, will realize right away that the vast majority of gay people in this country do not choose it that way because you're right. This is exactly what they're going to go through.
Right. You would never choose the more difficult thing. If you have a choice, you choose the easier thing. Always.
Sure.
With everything.
Of course.
So in your relationship with your gal pal, who will remain unnamed, to put it along traditional lines, would you consider yourself to be the husband or the wife in this relationship?
Oh, I don't. I try not to get into that role-playing stuff.
But if you had to, just indulge me for a second. I mean, like, when you're going to go out to dinner, who makes the decision about where you're going to go, what time you're going to leave?
Well, is that a husband or a wife thing? I don't know.
No, let me put it to you.
Usually the wife makes the decision.
Yeah, my wife makes all the decisions in my marriage.
See, we are both in, we're both married.
Uh-huh.
We're both the wives in so many ways.
Right.
So
there's no doubt. My wife, for instance, my wife is outstanding with tools and junk like that.
Right.
She's more of a man than I am.
Yeah. Well, I think it goes back and forth. I often will let her make the decisions on where we're going to go out to dinner and stuff, but I am a little bit better with tools than she is. So,
what about romantically now? Are you the leader or is she the leader?
I don't know. I don't think.
Because, in that instance with my marriage, I always have to instigate
it. You're always the instigator.
Always the instigator. Mm-hmm. Always, constantly. I'm like a dog in that way.
And he really is like a dog.
I'm probably
heat.
The instigator a little bit more than she is.
Okay. Good for you. So. Okay, listen, a couple of calls for you. You want to take some phone calls from
our
listeners?
Sure.
Okay, here we go. Throw those headphones on. And let's go first. Oh, here you go.
Cassidy.
Yes.
Yes, here's a call for you from San Francisco. This is Chris.
Hello.
Hi, Cassidy.
Hi.
How you doing? This is Chris.
Hi, Chris.
First of all, I want to give you, condolences by your dad.
Thank you.
And, I myself am, I think I'd have to choose Ellen over Anne.
Oh, please, come on. I don't believe
so
you
funny.
For a second.
Her personality.
Oh, we weren't talking about personality, we were talking about who would you do.
Yeah, you're right. Okay.
She is funny, but, what is the personality between the sheets, really?
Hey, very nice, Chastity. Very true.
Bang.
Very true.
Mm-hmm.
And I wanted to thank Chastity for sharing that she's not actually a five-star dyke, but very close to being one.
A five-star dyke, would that be, for those in the life, as I've heard it's called, would that be the far end of the spectrum, like the five-star dyke?
I've never heard it before, but I guess so.
I love the jargon, and I love to pick up new jargon. A five-star dyke would be the ultimate lesbian.
And the opposite would be a lipstick lesbian, right?
Right. Let's put it this way. For this book tour, went out and bought the first women's suit that I've ever owned.
And that what you're wearing today.
And these are women's clothing.
Okay, and you wore that?
Yes.
Specifically to do the show.
Appeal to that mainstream audience.
What's comfortable? What would you normally
you ever
like,
wear
when you're knocking around? What do you wear?
You ever wear dresses?
No, I don't ever wear dresses.
Oh, that's too bad.
Isn't that terrible?
To be really comfortable, what is the standard uniform for Chastity Bono?
I like actually to dress nicely. Right. I just generally wear men's clothing.
So men's designer clothing, perhaps.
I most of my wardrobe is from Banana Republic, if that helps.
All right.
Very khaki-ish, huh?
Yes, exactly. Kind of a little preppy.
Ready for the office? Ready for the safari?
Right, right. That's me.
Do you go braless often?
Never.
Never braless.
Well,
never
when
braless.
I sleep.
Well, no, you know what I mean.
Yeah.
Okay, all right. Chris, thank you.
Yeah.
Once again, we have that in common with Chastity. Yeah. We never go braless either.
Yes, Chris, what else?
Oh, I had one other question. It sounds kind of like you have an accent. I was just curious.
Do you?
I know Cher has somewhat of an accent, but...
What?
Whatever or not, all the middle come around.
It sounds a little bit country.
I sound like I have a country accent to you?
I don't detect that. Thank you. Listen, we got to move because Chastity has to go. Hello, Donna Mike Show.
Hey, Donna Mike Radio Guys.
Hello, this is a call for you from Baltimore, right? This is Randy?
Yes, hey.
Hi.
Chaz, it's a pleasure to talk to you.
Thank you.
Chaz, please, don't refer to her as Chaz.
A little respect, sir, please.
That's
just
okay.
A little respect for our guest.
That's what everybody calls me, so.
Chaz.
Oh, sorry about that, Chaz.
Much more comfortable,
can we,
it?
Can we call you Chaz?
Bono.
Yes, you guys can.
Right on, Chaz.
The Chaster.
The Chaz woman, the woman of Chastinia.
Look, when I was a little kid, I would watch Sonny and Cher every Friday night, and my dad was worried that I'd end up gay.
I think really?
It's fascinating. That is truly, truly fascinating.
I watch Sonny and Cher all the time, and my parents were more upset about the outfits your mom would wear.
Mm-hmm.
And then a lot of the reason I liked watching the show was because your mom would come out like in practically nothing.
Well, check it out. I mean, where could you see Elton John, Bette Midler, and Cher on the same stage on network television?
Hmm.
I mean, it was really kind of a defining moment, and I'm about the same age as Chastity, so coming out was a little different back when I was younger.
Hmm. That's interesting. Your dad reacted that way. I think he should look to himself a little bit more if he was concerned about that.
Well, he probably should have shipped me off to rugby camp the first time I bought a Cher record.
All right, listen, you're out on that island by yourself. Thank you, sir. Bye-bye. Listen, Chastity, you have to go. They're flashing on my screen.
Okay.
You have to go.
Okay,
to do...
can I do a quick shameless plug?
Please do. Plug away.
Thank you, because we really haven't talked too much about the book. But just to describe it a little bit, it is a coming-out guide for gay and lesbian people and their parents. And,
oh, it's a guide. Okay.
It is a guide, right. Yeah. And I interviewed about 12 different families for this. And the first part of the book looks at the coming out process from the gay person's perspective. Each chapter starts with me talking about my experiences pertaining to that subject and then goes into other people's stories. And there's analysis and some advice. And then the second part of the book really mirrors the first part, but from the family members and parents' perspective. And each chapter in that section begins with excerpts from an interview I did with my mom for the book and then goes into the other family members from the people in the first part. And it's a fairly easy read to get through.
Yeah, big print.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
Big letters.
And,
no pictures though. I was sad to see that there's like no pictures in the middle and stuff.
No, there's no. It's a very serious book.
Oh, I know that. I'm just teasing you.
No,
Chaz,
no facial expressions or anything like that. This will be the reaction on your parents' face the first time you say something with a ooh.
Yeah.
No, nothing
like that. But that in descriptive terms, we do that. We don't make the face, but we describe the face.
Do you describe like the different? I know you have to go, but do you describe like the subtle nuances that you have to be aware? If they look like this,
right,
you'll know that
they're not really cool. Right? Mm. No, it's. I mean, there's some really, really wonderful stories, and it really is a great a great guide for families having to deal with this issue.
That's great.
$24? Boy, listen, there's 32 in Canada. How come books are always so much more in Canada, Chaz?
I don't know. I was wondering that, too. And the dollar is so strong there that it seems unfair.
And one last question. Is there any way that I could get a copy of this picture? It's a picture of you in the bathtub with your mom. It's on the cover of the book. It's in the lower left hand. If you're playing Hollywood Squares, it would be where Charlie Weaver was.
Right.
Nice picture of you and your mom in the tub.
Blown up, though, you don't see anything more either.
Oh,
so.
Bummer.
Okay.
All right, get out of here, Chastity.
Right, Chastity Bowman, thank you very much for coming on the show. Did you have a good time?
I did, thanks.
Very good.
Bye.
Okay, now we're going to size you up as you walk out.
All right.
We take a good look at her.
There she goes.
Yeah.
That's Chastity Bono, ladies and gentlemen.
I bet I could win her over to our side. You know what I'm saying.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying.
She was cool. I liked her.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, she's very nice.
Very relaxed.
Mm-hmm. Very nice. We're very comfortable with lesbians.
We certainly are.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so the name of her book is Family Outing, and we appreciate the fact that she would slum to be on our show, because generally she's doing all the highbrow programs.
I think it's cool, a guide, and that's for somebody who's freaking out about telling mom and dad, that's a good book to get.
She's on the cell phone already.
Wow.
She is already on the... Who would she be talking
to? She's an activist, Don. She is an activist.
Let me call the front desk and have Colette ask her who she's talking to.
Hi, guys.
Hey, Colette, when Chastity Bono's walking out, grab her and ask her who she's talking to on the cell phone already. Okay. Got to find out who she's on the phone with.
Terry, guys.
Oh, I'm sorry, Terry. Hi.
Hi, Terry.
Hi. You want to know who she's talking to?
Yeah. She was like...
to know who Chastity's talking to.
She was on the phone immediately.
Yes.
Is it a significant other?
Agent.
Or was it a...
It's her agent.
It's her agent.
Oh, was it a review? Ask her, was it a review of her performance on the show?
Oh, sorry, say again?
Ask her if her agent was reviewing her performance on our show.
Is the agent reviewing her performance on the show? No.
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 Oh, okay. All right. Thank you, Terry.
You're welcome.
Tell Chastity we said bye.
Okay.
All
right, bye.
Why don't I picture a British agent, reviewing this? Smashing Chastity. Absolutely slayed them. You slayed the dragon. Way to go, love. Fantastic job. That's great. I thought they'd be barbarians, but they really weren't.
No, we're very nice to lesbians.
Hi, this is Cher, and I never listened to Don Geronimo and Michael Merrill.
Oh, you know what I just remembered? We should have told her that story about her mom.
Her mom, when her mom stood us up.
Mm-hmm. And when we stood her up.
That's right, absolutely. We stood Cher up one time.
Yeah, let me see if she's out there.
Gone.
That'd be a good story. I should have asked her to ask her mom if she remembered that. Hey, is she gone, Terry? It's us again.
Oh,
crap.
Oh, bummer.
All right, thanks. All right.
Very busy lady.
All right.
Okay. Bye-bye.
See, we, let me see her walk out.
She got an entourage?
Oh, she got one, two, and here she comes. She'll be coming into your screen now, Mike.
Okay.
She walks by. She's still on the cell phone. Yeah, they were pigs. They're total.
No.
They were total pigs. They're just so gross. Made me so glad I'm a lesbian. So glad I'm a lesbian.
And I do love the question though about being with a man. It wasn't awful.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Howdy, folks, and welcome back, everybody. I'm Tom. We're back on live tonight, so the toll-free is up and running, and the ColorCast is on the air now for the 12th of November, 1997, CBS Radio and Television here in Los Angeles, California. You know, if today, if we were living in the year 1913, today's date would be 11-12-13, but we're not, so it ain't. Anyway, today I did a little thing called the Satellite Radio Tour, where Tom talks with guys and gals on different radio talk programs around the country. And I was chatting with Mike O'Mara and Don Geronimo from WJFK FM in Washington, D.C. And their motto there, by the way, is WJFK, less BS. So I'm sure that Jack Kennedy up in heaven is saying, well, it's the station with less BS. And I had an email that ties in with Don and Mike in Washington. A lady wrote in here, a family room, they said, you know, Tom, every night we see you at the show there, you open the show with the wide shot, and we see the gold vase at the base of your chair. For heaven's sake, what is the gold vase? Actually, the gold vase is a spittoon. And what's in here, you see, I take a little breath mint between the office and coming down here to the studio, just in case I want to plant one on a female guest, you know what I mean? And then right before the show starts, because it's not polite to talk with mints in your mouth, we have what is called mint spit, in which I spit a mint into these spittoon. See, they can hear them. So one day, this guy Geronimo and Mike are in here from WJFK. They came out for the big primetime tour, where they got to talk with the CBS stars. And the lady who gave them the tour, they said, would you like to see Snyder's studio? And I said, well, we'd like to see, yeah, where he does the show from. They come in, and they come over here, and they see the old mince bit. And one of them says they took a handful of these and put them in their pocket and were passing them out on the plane. Oh, jeez. Strange things on the radio from WJFK where there's Lasha B.S.
The Don and Mike Show.
Driving back to pass. He's got a man open the end zone. Super Bowl, it was all Joe Artinger's fault.
Stay tuned for an outstanding entertainment program, the best of Don and Mike.
He's going to have to live with this boner for a long time.
It's not the heat, it's the stupidity. The Don and Mike Show.
Listen, Rob Spivak, you ready to do your eating?
Uh-huh.
Let's get to that right now.
Really?
Really, Buzz.
He lives. He lives here with us.
I wonder how he feels knowing he can be replaced by a tape.
That's wonderful. I hope he's flattered.
Rob Spivak.
Yeah. Hi.
Now, the estimate that you made yesterday was that you could eat an entire pie in 15 bites. Let's see how big that pie is.
It's a bigger. It's you a 2-pound pie.
You hate that, don't you, when food products have, like, donut boxes.
Don't slow me down.
Yeah, that's what you want. He doesn't want the tape on there.
And you immediately identified that as a 2-pound pie?
Well, it says so on the label.
Okay.
It's not anything innate.
He's using the Gleason hand movements over here now. Getting ready to eat his pie.
Now, are you going to use a knife and fork, or are you going to...
I'm using a knife.
Oh my God, that looks like a nice pie, Rob.
To slice it.
All right. The great one would enjoy that pie.
Sure he would.
Slice it up. Slice it real good. And what is it? Is it some kind of cherry pie, Rob?
It's a sour cherry crumb.
Yeah.
So,
and I know this is very visual, but perhaps you can you can somehow understand our joy. We love watching Rob eat.
Try use this.
And he's starting already. Okay.
He's starting. Ladies and gentlemen, he has begun the pie.
He put almost an entire piece in his mouth.
And, you know, immediately when you have that first bite, how would you rate? Flavor good?
That's a good pie.
Good pie. That's good. That's a good sign.
Well, we're not going to rush you.
Right.
Okay. I mean, this is not a speed eating contest.
This is a how many bites it's going to take, right?
Yeah. You've estimated that you could eat an entire pie in 15 bites.
Well, I say after 15 bites, there's going to be a tremendous portion gone, but the crumb factor is where it's going to get you.
Yeah, he's making it on that very first bite. He made it all the way through... All the way through one wedge of pie up until the crust.
Yeah.
The crust is going to... You don't like the crust, do you?
Well, you don't have been a crust guy.
Me neither.
Well, you know what? Not where the goodness is.
Would you...
I agree with you.
You know what I mean?
Would you like totally to switch agree. To another pie?
Well, no, I think we'd best stick to this one and see how we do. I think we'll do all right.
How is the crumb flavor? Is it satisfying?
It's good. It's buttery, and there might be some pecans in it. I couldn't tell you yet.
All right, well, then I've given you the option to switch to another pie.
No, we'll stick with this pie, I think.
Okay. Let's take this opportunity to alert all the gastroenterologists in the area, too.
Well, that's a big-sized piece now.
That's a good one. He's very
he's meticulous when he slices his pie.
Oh, yeah.
And that's going to...
He needs a spoon for the assistance.
Gently spoon the pie, the entire piece into his...
There he is. He took more of the crust that time. He took more of the crust. How is it?
Terrible move.
Now, you don't have to eat. I'll tell you, it's like with a sandwich. You ever know kids like that in school that they would, when their moms would make them a sandwich, they wouldn't eat the crust?
Right, exactly.
We won't hold you to eating the crust around the outside.
That is wonderful. I think that's fair because he is taking care of the whole wedge of pie up until the crust.
The problem with this is when I use the spoon to shovel it in, the spoon is getting lodged. It's the size that it gets lodged under my teeth.
So. You actually could probably use one of those pie things, you know, those
a
flat...
Server.
A server,
yes,
that's right.
A server would help.
Slicing piece number three now.
Rob is enjoying a sour cherry crumb crust pie.
And it's good because it does remain a little tart. It's not overly sweet like some people.
You know what?
It's good when you're eating an entire pie.
I would bet that our producer, Charles Broyhill, could eat a pie in fewer bites than Rob Speedway.
I'd take that bet.
I don't know if Charlie's man enough to take that bet.
What are you on? What bite are you on?
This would be bite number three.
Number three. All right. Hey, Charlie, why don't you come in here?
He'd probably knock out a blueberry.
I bet he could do that chocolate meringue in less than 15.
You know, though, that's an advantage, Don.
Oh, look at the smile on his face.
Chocolate meringue is an advantage because you
have
crust.
No, I just ate lunch, and I when I was bringing them in, I was thinking, you know, I'd love to do this.
Okay.
But I have two football games tonight, and I don't want to.
Oh, because you'd throw up?
I'd probably heave, yes.
Mm. Oh, come on.
I have to eat the meringue?
No, you could eat the blueberry if you wanted.
No, I mean, can I take the meringue off the chocolate?
Oh, then it's technically not the whole pie.
Yeah, and if you're eating, if he's going with the cream pie, cream pie is easier because you don't have that crust to negotiate. Right. And
you can take the meringue off.
Thank you. All right.
Okay. Bring that one in.
All right.
And Rob?
Yes?
Would you continue your eating?
Of course.
Let me get some more music going.
What bite is this number? What number is this?
Number three. Lucky number three.
Here we go. Go for it.
Yeah, there you go. You know, this would make a great videotape, just watching Rob Spiewak eat. Oh my God. Oh, my God.
Wow.
How is it, Robbie?
Good.
I think for a good chunk of time, the entire airway was blocked.
Rob. Red, that's three big bites, and he's eaten over a quarter of the pie already.
Yeah.
For that split second when Rob is ingesting the pie, he has the uncanny ability to completely... shut down the need for oxygen to his brain.
That happens automatically when I unhinge my jaw.
Charles Broyhill is now taking the chocolate pie and he is scraping off the meringue topping.
Should come off roughly in one piece.
It looks like it's going to come off in one piece, Rob.
Rob, would you like to eat the meringue that Charlie is scraping off the pie for extra credit?
As Coach Vince would say, I'm going to focus on the task at hand.
All right.
Coach Vince. Coach Vince Lombardi.
Yes.
The trouble is the task at hand.
This is a sour cherry pie.
Now remember, the challenge is, can Broyhill eat his pie in fewer bites than it takes you to eat your pie? There you go. Charlie is Charlie's just taken all of the meringue off his.
I'm going to have to go with the apple because that one's still a little frozen in the middle.
Oh, it's all frozen, right. So you're going to go with an apple. I think that's more of an even battle there if you go with the apple.
Rob, you ready for piece number four?
Yeah, let's get on it.
Okay. All right, here we go. What bite is this, Rob?
Number four.
Four. Piece number four for Rob's
Speedway. Number four. Am I correct in saying when number four is ingested, the entire pie will be gone? I mean, half the pie?
There is some leavings.
All right, some leavings.
There are some leavings.
You know, technically, you might be able to do that in less than 15 bites,
well,
Rob.
I'd like to, if I could. I'd rather be a hammer than a nail.
Okay, here he goes.
If Masked Beware.
Rob Spiewak, number four, who is also a sexual surrogate right now. In
look
case
at that.
You...
Very nice. Look at the way he discards that crust. Just throws it away. Throws it to the floor.
Goddamn. Now, look at the efficient Charles Broyhill, who has sliced his like a big piece of pizza.
My God, that's a huge wedge that you're going to start with.
Charlie, will you get on mic to start eating yours, please?
This is Charles Broyhill's first bite of pie.
That might be too big. I might have.
Oh, really? Might have to go. Yeah. He overshot the runway on that one.
Okay. Rob Spiewak, that's four bites, and roughly half of his pie is gone.
Yes.
Lots of leavings, though, Don.
No, not really. When you look at it, you see there's more than half gone, and the leavings are just.
It's mainly crumbs, Mike. I would agree with Rob. He's done a pretty good idea. Broyhill, what are you doing, Broyhill?
Oh, we have the first choking. There you go.
Yeah.
You all right? We have to do the Heimlich maneuver or anything like that?
Hey, Charlie Broyhill. Well, he's a gamer.
Yeah.
I don't think he's quite in Rob's class.
I don't
class.
Have a very big mouth.
No, you don't.
He's not quite up to Rob's level when it comes to eating, I don't think.
He has regurgitated a part of his pie.
Oh, really?
We don't want to disqualify him right away. Sorry, Buzz.
Oh, my goodness.
No. No.
Huh? Rob, you're up to piece number five now?
Five.
Piece number five for Rob Spiegel.
Now, I have a question, Rob.
Shoot.
When you finish the wedges, will you attack the leavens since we're not making you eat the crust?
Yes, I will.
Very good.
The best way to handle the leavens, I think, would be by hand.
By hand into a ball, right?
Yeah, I would think so. I'm not going to roll it because it won't make, you know.
But just like a patty cake a little bit.
Broyhill, are you officially out? No, Broyhill is going to attack piece number two of his pie.
Okay.
Although technically he has regurgitated some, so.
Rob is on number five.
Did you swallow it back? Oh, he swallowed it back after he threw it up.
Very good.
It's a shame that the baby birds didn't get any of their food that time.
It sure is.
Rob Spiewak, piece number five now. Both
gone. Gone in one. The most impressive yet. Let me tell you something. He's on an upward curve. That was the best ingestion of the pie yet.
I'd just like to point out that Rob Spiewak, true player on this show, not only is he eating an entire pie just for our enjoyment,
right.
He has also vowed to keep a sworn celibacy until the Washington Redskins win a game. And now, fortunately for him, his wife is out of town. She's in France on business.
That's correct.
So it's not like Rob is going to be getting lots anyway. But he is going to be the master of his domain, meaning he will not pleasure himself until the Washington Redskins win a game.
I won't pleasure myself or anyone else.
I'll tell you, you're pleasuring yourself right now. You're enjoying that pie.
You're right. And meanwhile, very quietly, standing next to him, Charles Broyhill, what piece are you up to right now?
This will be number three.
Number three for Charles Broyhill.
And Charles Broyhill also looks like he's enjoying himself. All right, piece number three for Charlie Broyhill. Come up to the microphone, Charlie.
He doesn't have quite the capacity Rob does.
No,
my mouth's a little bit smaller.
Yes, it is. Here we go. Monica.
There you go. He got nearly an entire piece in his mouth.
He did a fine job. I mean, you're dealing with a disadvantage. His reach isn't as much as Rob's.
And he doesn't have the practice.
That's right.
Now, Rob, is your stomach getting full at all?
Yes, it is. I'm going to call for a timeout in a moment so I can rest for a moment because you said it's not a timed competition.
No, it's not.
So,
you need to rest. Take a rest from eating.
Would you like some buttermilk?
I can get some pork gravy over here.
Can you do one more before the break?
Oh, yeah.
Number six?
Numero six.
Oh, that pie is almost history.
Wow! Look at, and you know what I like? God damn it, he attacks that pie, doesn't he?
It's one move, and then the crust, the back of the pie, is just thrown down into the pie plate.
Rob takes an entire piece of pie, unhinges his jaw.
Man, I'm dizzy, Don. That's incredible.
Shoves it in, and then, he takes the crust, and just with a, like he's throwing a frisbee, throws the crust down.
I feel like I'm watching a surgeon here. This is just incredible.
I like to pattern myself after those lumberjack competitions on ESPN, too.
Absolutely.
When you're done, you're done.
You're done. You throw the hands down.
And Broyhill, what are you up to right now?
This is number four.
Piece number four for Charlie Broyhill.
Number four. Here he goes. Charlie does the slow approach, and
Now you threw back, like a quarter of that piece, Charlie.
Look at that.
Finish that piece off, Charlie.
I don't think I've got enough of it.
Can you not talk over my pie?
Come on.
Yeah, your leavings will fall into Rob's pie.
Really?
It really was.
What do you have, like two more or one more left there, Rob?
It looks like two more attack bites and then a leavens bite.
Yeah.
All right, do you need a break? Do you need a rest?
I do need a rest. Okay. I need to rejuggle in my tummy.
All right, as we go to break, right now Rob Spiewak has had, I believe, six bites?
Six bites of pie.
Six bites, and he is nearly three quarters done with his pie. Charles Broyhill has had four bites, and he's only half done with his pie.
Okay, we have any citrus spray around the studio?
All right, well, Rob, get a rest.
Are you not getting oranges in here?
Rob, get a rest, and Charlie, get a rest. And then we'll come back, and we'll finish watching these guys eat their pie in what might be simply the stupidest thing we've ever done on our show.
Very clever, boys.
We'll be right back. Rob, are you done resting? We can take these calls while you continue to eat. Yeah, I want to make sure that Rob finishes his pie.
Yeah, and when it went, wilt away.
I think we should do the show from the Corleone estate.
And during the commercial set, Christine came in, and I caught her looking at the pies also.
She's a real pie fan.
Yeah.
Said she wants the blueberry all for herself.
Christine, how much do you think you could eat?
How many bites would it take you to eat an entire pie?
You think Christine's eaten pie before?
I don't think so. Oh, yes, I do. Of course she has.
Hi, Christine.
She's nodding vigorously.
Have you eaten pie before?
Yes, I have. I don't know how much I can eat of it, though.
I love that voice. Do you think you could eat an entire pie?
No, probably not.
Could you eat half a pie?
I'd say yeah. But
okay.
I'd eat lunch either.
Rob, give her a pie.
Yeah, give her an entire pie.
Give her a pie also, please.
Christine, welcome to the... you got to spit the gum out. That's okay. Welcome to the pie-eating contest. Here are your competitors, Rob Spiewak and
Charles Broyhill. I think Broyhill's dropped down in the competition.
You got a collie wobbles?
I haven't seen him.
Where'd he go?
Christine, that is the chocolate pie that is kind of frozen. Right.
Is blueberry okay for you, Christine?
That won't stain your dentures? That's an old commercial, remember? Now I can have all the blueberry pie I want. Paula Dan.
She wants the apple.
She wants the apple? All right, yeah, you can finish Charlie Broyhill's apple pie.
All right. See how many bites it'll take you to finish that.
You might want to watch Rob and watch a real master eat the pie.
Have you, Christine, have you had the pleasure of seeing Rob have a bite of pie?
No, I haven't.
He is the guru.
All right, let's watch Rob eat a piece now.
I believe this is piece number seven.
Piece number seven for Robbie Spiewak.
Absolutely tearing through the pie. Not even getting to double digits.
Now, Christine, this is what we like. Look at the motion here.
Thank you, Charles.
Watch the technique. Watch this. Watch,
it's
Christine.
Dripping. Hold on.
See that? See that, Christine? That's a whole piece of pie at once.
That's one piece of pie.
That's right, Buzz. Pretty amazing.
You think you could do that, Christine?
No.
Really?
Something tells me you could, Christine. I think you could. I think you could get it all in there.
Don, I'd like to just say this contest is a lot better now.
Rob has only one piece left?
One piece and leavings.
One piece and his leavings.
One piece and leavings.
All right, Christine, get yourself set up there.
Yeah.
And let me get a call here while Christine's getting her piece of pie. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
How's it going, guys?
Hey, just fine, my friend.
You guys were talking about Robert Duvall, and I just had a celebrity sighting. I work out in Middleburg, VA, and I...
Hold on a second.
Okay.
We just want to watch Christine eat her pie. Nope. Christine, would you come up to the microphone to eat your pie, please?
Hey, look at that wedge of pie. Look at that wedge of pie.
That is an incredible
piece of pie.
Let me see how much pie you can get in that dainty mouth of yours.
Here she goes. Oh.
Wow.
Oh.
Wow.
Oh.
Mm.
That's a baby bite.
Mm-hmm.
A baby bite.
Food can be very sensual, don't you agree?
Yes, I do.
Certainly not when Rob's eating it, but when Christine's eating it, it becomes sensual.
No. Mighty sensual.
I'd say when Rob's eating food, it becomes a weapon.
Hey, Christine, how would you feel about taking the same challenge Rob has taken as you wipe the apple off your face?
Mm-hmm. wouldn't be a problem.
Really? So would you also make the same vow of celibacy until the rest gets
win
again?
I won't make the vow,
no. You won't.
Gotcha.
All right. That's a tiny little bite you took of that pie.
I haven't finished right
you think,
okay.
Yeah, finish. You think you do it? Put it all in your mouth, Christine.
Right there.
Rob, you want to show her how it's done?
Yeah, Rob, you got one more piece and some leavings to deal with.
It's hot in here.
There you go, yeah.
Look at
you
that.
Are the master, Rob.
Incredible.
He got it, yada, yay.
He got it.
Rob has eaten an entire pie in only
eight bites.
Eight. Keep in mind, his original guesstimate was 15 bites.
Champagne Rob Spiewak. What do you think of that, Christine? Pretty impressive, isn't it?
I'm really impressed.
Could we watch you eat a little more, Christine?
All right. Go ahead.
Sure.
Here we go.
Let's see you take another bite.
Taking another bite of the pie.
Are you gagging on that pie a little bit?
Yeah.
No.
Just a little bit.
Nah, she wasn't.
Okay, yeah, hello. You're on the air still.
Oh, yeah. Just like I said, I called about Robert Duvall and his, if that's his wife, she is a robo-hottie.
Yeah, she is, but Jesus, she's young enough to be his granddaughter.
Well, yeah, it looks that way, but who knows, you know?
Well, you know, he's got that prerogative. He's a movie star.
Yeah, that's right.
Sure.
All right, guys. Well, thanks a lot. Take it easy.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
All right, meanwhile, Rob, how are you feeling now that the in the waning moments of your eight pieces of pie in a little less than an hour?
He's doing okay.
I'm all right.
Feeling good?
Yeah.
Hello.
In a second, I'll hit those leaves.
Hi.
Okay.
Hi, Don and Mike Show.
Hi, man. You guys were messing me up the other day when you saying you's all name was Mike.
You all's names is Mike?
I blew my load, man. I can understand. Can you tell me what was going on?
Well, Professor, we all have the name of Mike.
Mike O'Mara's real name is Mike O'Mara. My real name is Mike Source. And Buzz Burbank's real name is Mike Elston. So if we all used our real names, this would be the Mike and Mike and Mike Show.
Yeah, screw me up.
Oh, man.
Go see,
wow.
Go see Reservoir Dogs. That's a good movie.
Buzz, what do you think about that?
Wow.
Yeah, okay. Right. I'm with you, Buzz. Hello, Don and Mike Show. Hello.
It's still me, man.
Oh, all right. I meant to hang up on you. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hey, guys.
Hey, Mike. Go see Reservoir Dogs, Mom.
What are you doing all using the names of Mike? You really messed me up. Can I have some pie?
I blew my load, Mom. Hello.
Wow.
Hey, Don and Mike Show.
Is Christine's is her favorite pie there? What is her favorite pie?
That is an excellent question. Christine, what is your favorite pie?
Step up to the microphone, Christine.
Wipe the crumbs off.
Okay.
What is your favorite pie to eat?
Actually, my favorite pie is apple.
Apple, which she is eating right now.
Yeah. Do you like cherry pie?
I like cherry pie, too.
Do you like chocolate pie?
Yes. Pumpkin. I like chocolate.
Do you like pumpkin pie?
Not one of my I'll eat it around, you know, Thanksgiving, but
not the holidays.
Favorite. Mm-hmm.
Pecan pie?
Pecan's okay.
What about chicken pot pie?
Not a big fan of that, but I...
Dinner pie.
That's a dinner pie. Excuse me, Rob. Sorry.
Didn't mean to break format, Rob. Sorry about
shepherd's
that.
Shepherd's pie? Do you like shepherd's pie?
What's in that?
It's a mashed potato pie with, like, meat.
Never had it.
Mm. It's very good. It's also a dinner pie.
Do you agree that food can be very sensual, Christine?
Sure, not when I'm eating.
Well, oh, we disagree.
Beg to differ.
All right.
Beg to differ, Christine.
Enjoy that pie, Christine.
Thank you. It's very good.
Mm-hmm.
Are you done eating? Oh, there she. Oh, all right. She's going to go back to her job now.
You take care. Thank you for joining in on that contest.
Bye, Christine.
Bye-bye.
What, Robbie?
What, Rob?
Nothing helps digestion like a comfortable environment, and I think she'll do fine.
Oh. Are you ready for your leavens?
Are you going to roll them up? Are you doing them?
Well, I've afforded myself a few extra bites here. Because I brought it in at under 8, so I think I can get
brought
it,
in at under 8. our rodeo rider.
This is like a guy that's financing a car.
Hey, you do what you can do good, and this is what I can do good.
And you're the best at it, Rob. There he goes. Look, there is a mother of a bite.
So he attempts to clean the plate.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Christine didn't clean the plate. I just want to point that out.
Hello.
Hello.
Hi there, Don and Mike Show.
Hi.
Hi.
I just spoke to Charlie about the strip trivia contest.
Oh, that's next Thursday, strip trivia. Yes. Next Thursday, 1 week from today.
Yep, and I want to do it.
You do? Oh, really? We hadn't even started trolling yet for contestants.
Well, I was on hold.
Really?
I called like, I think 2 weeks ago maybe, or a week and a half ago.
Yes, what's your name?
Vanessa.
Vanessa, where are you from?
Where am I from?
Yeah.
I live in Fairfax.
How old are you?
I'm 19.
Oh, 19. Who is the celebrity that you think you most resemble?
Well, I don't have anybody I really resemble the most, but I mean, I've been told Sandra Bullock, I've been told Elizabeth Hurley, Julia Roberts.
Oh, wow.
I have DSLs, that's why.
Oh, do you?
Wow.
Well, you're in.
You're in. Congratulations. You're the first contestant.
Bring ID, Vanessa.
Welcome
Bring
aboard.
ID? Okay.
Bring your ID with us.
Absolutely.
Okay.
And if you need a fake ID, we'll be able to sell you one. Maybe we can just rent it to you for the day.
I already have one.
Okay. All right. Thank you, Vanessa.
Thank you, guys.
Hold on a second, please.
Contestant number one, the very youthful Vanessa.
Carlos needs to speak to you again. Carlos Broyhill. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hello.
Hello there.
Hi. Am I on the air?
Yes, you are.
I just wanted to let you know about the, do you remember the movie Stand By Me? What happened after that pie-eating contest?
Of course, yeah. We were discussing that movie yesterday on the show.
Projectile vomiting.
You might want to stand back from Rob Spreeback.
Thank you for getting my name right there.
Listen, I have every confidence in the world that Rob will not be upchucking today. Rob is a professional eater.
And that was only one pie that was eaten by Rob Spreeback.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Ron Spreeback.
Hello.
Danny Zweibeck.
Are you done eating?
No.
Okay, well, finish it up, please.
You'd like closure on this.
Yeah, I'd like to move on to something else, but
I believe this would be it.
One last bite. This would be bite number 9 officially.
There it is!
And you know what? He has eaten every last little bit of that pie.
Bravo, Rob. Fine job. You know, you had a couple of pretenders to the throne. You had Charlie Broyhill, you had Christine in here, and you just dusted them.
Yeah.
I feel.
You the man, Rob. Rob Spiewak.
Oh, man.
You heard it, folks. 9 bites to eat an entire pie.
Donnie Drybach. There he goes.
Hello there, Don and Mike Show.
Yeah, hey, can I touch Don, Mike?
Yeah, you're on the air. Hello.
Hey, who do you think's going to win the Green Bay game tonight?
What?
What?
Who's going to take the Green Bay game tonight?
Green Bay.
Green Bay?
Green Bay. Detroit. I like Detroit. Green Bay. Green Bay, but 5. They fuck up on us. They fuck up on us. Goodbye.
He wasn't eating pie, that caller.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Yeah, hi. I called a little while ago and I got cut off. I was going to ask Don and Mike about whether or not Robbie had to wait through next season if the Redskins don't win this season.
No, I think if the Redskins don't win this year that we will allow Rod to have sex again.
Absolutely. You know, he's going to overseas to see his wife at the holidays.
But as Rob picks the contest up, the Redskins are 0-6. They have 10 more games. That means there's a possible...
Was that you, Rob?
Oh, my God. What a burp that was.
Man.
A possible 10 weeks of celibacy for Rob Spiewak. Self-imposed celibacy. That's plenty long, sir.
Okay, so he doesn't have to wait till next year?
No, he doesn't, but...
Oh, okay.
You know, 10 weeks is a long time, man, to go without anything. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hey, correction. Rob ate that pie in 10 bites. You guys are throwing out false information over the air.
You thought it was 10 bites?
Yeah, you said it was 8 bites, and then he had to eat all the leavings, and that required 2 more bites.
He is correct. Technically, he is correct, Rob.
There's another burp. I don't know if you can hear that. That was off mic.
I've always appreciated your guys' show and your detail and
but you know what I would say?
And accuracy.
You know, and I appreciate the fact that you're a penny pincher, but I would say that technically, in the record books,
right,
it would go down as 8 bites because all he had left, it was a crumb pie.
And conceivably, he could have really done that in one bite.
I'm gonna put it down in the record books as 8.
8, which is going to give him single digits, and
he'll
I think
be
that's
like
great.
The Roger Maris of eating because there will be an asterisk.
Mark next McGuire, to it. 408-foot fence hitting up 407 feet. And,
that's right, sir.
Count.
All right.
Well, Rob was eating Andro before he came in here to eat his pie.
Take it up with Dom DeLuise, the commissioner of Major League Eating.
I think the first 8 were the 61 hits.
There you go.
61 home runs.
That's right.
And then the last 2, the leavings, that was the additional.
He set the record.
There's pie. I'll tell you, the pie has had some kind of effect on somebody. Would that be you?
I don't think it was me.
Well, somebody farted. It wasn't me.
There is tremendous fart smell in here right now. I just got a major wave of it.
Maybe
I don't think
it was me. I didn't feel it. I got hurt in my belly right now.
That was you.
Always admit, Rob.
Oh, my God.
No, I smell it now.
Maybe I'm going to eat some oranges.
You know what, Mike?
Oh, my God.
Hold on. I'm going to tell you what I think it is.
What?
I don't think. I think it was his breath. I swear to God, I think it's his breath.
Oh.
I don't think it was a fart.
Get some spray.
You know what? He was standing right there talking about having breathing very heavily. I know.
Did you smell that?
Is that right now? It's still in the air.
Something came out of you, Rob.
It is your breath, it is Rob.
Truly
your
evil.
Breath.
He had those two huge burps.
It's
going to make me puke.
It's not as acid as his breath.
That was amazing.
Hello?
Hey.
Hey.
I was wondering what celebrity Rob resembles.
Baby Huey.
Gastro Man.
Rob really has a very unique look to him.
Yeah, you have to come out to one of our Las Vegas-style shows to see him.
Well, who does Rob say he resembles the most?
You know, it's a good question. I don't know. We would ask him, except we've banished him from the studio now because his breath smells like butt.
Kind of a John Goodman hybrid.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hey, guys. Me again.
Who are you?
I'm gone. I'm driving Kmart. Hey, Rob, fake white guy. What's doing, man?
Man, Boomhauer.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hey, Don Mike.
Hi there.
Radio God.
Hi.
Hey, Buzz is recording.
I'll tell you, man, my breath smells like a fart.
Hold on, I'll give you some Buzz.
Oh.
There you go, there's Buzz's recording.
Hey guys, don't want to take over, but you've got to do something about 98.1 The Peak in Greenville, South Carolina.
Why?
Because they cut you off about 10 or 15 minutes before 7 every day.
No, they're not. They're running the whole show.
Well, hell, I live here.
I'm telling you, I talked to the general manager. That is one of the stations that's running the whole show.
Well, yesterday...
Yesterday there was a baseball game.
Oh, exactly. Yesterday was a game, so I don't know, but...
Yes, and on Monday of this week and Tuesday of this week, they ran the entire show.
Well, I've got to hear that, because I always...
Well, turn on your goddamn radio.
Been killing it.
Listen, I don't mind people bagging our stations when they do something bad, but I'm telling you, that station has run the whole show.
Well, I give my apologies if they do, but I have...
They do.
They've cut off at about 10 till...
No. Hold on. Time out, please. First off, when they were being cut off at 10 minutes till, it wasn't WPEK that was doing it.
Right,
it was
probably the network.
It was our network.
Right.
And I'm telling you now that WPEK runs the whole show.
And yesterday was the baseball game, and, you know, we'll listen today. You'll get your proof today.
Super. I definitely will.
Okay, thank you,
gentlemen.
All right, come on, get your facts straight before you call us, please.
The studio now is free of odor.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hi, guys.
Hi there.
Hey, I think you should make him watch 30 minutes of porno after each game is lost. Put him to the...
No, oh, no, that is cruel and unusual punishment.
Aren't you a kinky lass?
That is really cruel. I think it's plenty. Listen, the Redskins are going to lose this week to Minnesota. There's a very good chance that they'll go 0-16. You know, it'll be fun as the year goes on.
Of course.
We don't have to heighten the pressure on Rob Spiewak.
And if he has, you know, any problem getting, you know, excited or something, just, you know, work up a burp. That'll kill it. Yeah. Trust me.
That would excite you guys, though, wouldn't it?
What?
A burp?
Burp.
No, it just made us nearly throw up, Rob.
I know. I'm
just... Rob's foul smell. Thank you, Rob. Thank you for the air freshener. We need that.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Hey, I stopped smoking cigarettes.
Oh, good.
Isn't that something? I'm on to cigars now. I'm on to a 5-year plan. I eliminated the cigarettes, then I go to cigars, then I go to pipes, then I go to chewing tobacco, then I'm on to that nicotine gum. Yeah.
Money. I'll leave you blank checks.
Oh, no, please. I've got lots of money. I won't have any problem cashing a second-party out-of-state paycheck, will I? The reason I'm saying is I've been so busy lately, I haven't been able to do my banking, and I don't think it'd be a problem. Don't worry
about it. Let me just leave you the checks.
Well, only if it's comfortable for you.
That'll be easier.
I guess, sure. Do you have a plunger here while I'm thinking of these things for the morning? You know, my plumbing is just so bad. Well, of course, yours is a good plumbing here, right? Yeah, I would imagine. Yeah, just don't worry about it. You know, everything will be fine. Just been bound up lately. It's driving me crazy. I've been eating a lot of cheese for some reason. I don't know what it is. I got a craving for this stuff. And maybe that's an allergy or something?
Yeah.
I don't know. I can't get enough cheese. I feel like a big mouse.
The Don and Mike Show.
Know something? After watching the mulattoes shake it, I can absolutely understand why Brazil is totally devoted to my favorite body part, the ass.
Like corn, enjoy it a second time. Second time. The best of Don and Mike.
Why do we have to beep out Pecker? All right, that's what he said. We had to beep it out. And that was the name of a movie with John Waters. And right. As a matter of fact, he put his name before the title.
Yes.
So that when, like, it's reviewed by Siskel and Ebert, they'd have to say, this week we'll be looking at John Waters Pecker.
That is correct.
I mean, it's not like Pecker. It's John Waters.
Yes.
Pecker.
Big controversy about that, but he went through the channels and he got it legally put out there, whatever he had to do, and now you're seeing. I saw it in the post over the weekend, the big ad for John Waters Pecker.
Yeah. Movie sucks, like all of his movies.
Yeah, all of his movies
are so avant-garde, they're awful.
I don't even like to watch them on cable because they're just so, watching Ricky Lake when she weighed 1 million pounds bopping around in Hairspray. God.
A big thing for those big fat pigs.
Yeah, he loves them.
John Waters fans aren't thrilled with this movie, so...
Oh, really? Yeah, so even his cult following?
No, we don't like it. We're not into John Waters Pecker.
We've seen everything he's done, and this one, he's just missed the boat.
He's gone over the line. I love it, little Hitler mustache, though. Dreamy. Is that drawn on, or what?
It looks like it's a drawn-on mustache.
John Waters Pecker! All right, so then if we can say Pecker, and apparently we can, because we've said it like a gazillion times in the last 30 seconds, how come we had to edit it out of the Larry Sanders tape context?
Well, can we say it?
It's another one of those words. It depends on how you use it. If you use
I say peckerhead?
Yeah, I think you can, as a matter of fact.
Rob, you peckerhead.
Thank you, Don.
Do you know one time I have a story about that word that I didn't know that word meant what it means sometimes, and... maybe I can't even tell this story now. I tell this story.
Oh, come on. We're already way out there on the pecker ledge.
Well, it was Little League, and one of the guys, the coach for the other team, was going to his team. He's going, come on, guys. They were chipping away at our name.
Oh, story before. We heard this story.
He's saying, peck, 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 peck.
Right, yeah.
And I said, bust their peckers.
Yeah.
You know, because I thought I was thinking of the beak
of
a bird.
Of course.
And all of a sudden, my mother came down from the bleachers, and I felt that thumb and forefinger. Your mother, who had an ability, really, to take her thumb and forefinger and go to the elbow
like
joint.
Like caliper, almost.
Yeah.
Right?
They'd meet in the middle, like underneath the elbow bone, and it's like, don't you say that. And I'm like, what did I do? You know, like when you were that age. What did I say?
And how come Sossel was never reviewed? John Waters Pecker on this show.
That's interesting, Don.
That movie has been out for 2 or 3 weeks, hasn't it? And Charlie Stossel has never brought John Waters Pecker to our attention.
I think we should examine that. There might be a
hidden
reason.
Message.
Sure. Maybe maybe it didn't have figurines.
or maybe it did.
What kind of figure?
Yeah. Imagine that. He puts that next to the Hercules and Pocahontas on the dashboard of his car.
Blasphemy.
All right, John Waters Pecker, say hello to Hercules. This is Pocahontas, and this is Luke Skywalker and R2-D2.
We're all here up on the shelf together of my car.
Here's Woody.
And if I take a real sharp left-hand turn, you're all going to get to know each other really well.
All right, well, I'd like a clarification, please, on John Waters Pecker.
Well, what kind of movie is it, anyway? Is it a total farce like that?
I don't care about the movie. I mean, just about saying the word Pecker.
About the word.
Yeah, hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hey.
Hi.
Just wanted to call and tell you y'all having a titillating conversation.
Titillating is fine to say.
Absolutely, okay. Yes. Yeah. You said that, and then you paused and took that deep breath waiting for a reaction.
Just like Titanic is okay to say. It's okay to spell Titanic.
Right.
T-I-T-A-N-I-C.
That's it. Got it.
You just can't say the first part of that phonetically.
Aren't rules fun? They're fun to dance around.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Yeah, I got a celebrity story for him.
Is it a sighting or a story, sir?
No, it's a story.
You have a celebrity story for them?
Yes.
Does it involve a celebrity's pecker?
What? A celebrity's pecker? Well, yeah, actually it does.
That might be the one contact, because we wouldn't know that. The man with the big red switch would know that.
Right.
I see.
Who is the celebrity?
The celebrity would be Sylvester Stallone.
Really?
Yeah, not actually enjoy knowing about his pecker or anything, but it's still a funny story.
A true story or a fake story?
Let me go on the record, sir, as requesting, since we are the professionals here, we will be using the word pecker here for the rest of the segment.
So don't be such a peckerhead, okay?
Okay, so stop using it yourself. You're not allowed to use that word in your Sylvester Stallone story.
You can say pee-pee instead.
I will refrain from the further use of the word.
Thank you.
All right. No, the story's true, as far as I can tell. There's a tape of the incident.
Is this about him being in a porno? Is this about him being in a porno because he was in a porno?
I've seen it
early in his career. Yes, so have I.
Yeah, it's an audio tape recent that was extracted just recently in the last year or so.
What?
A friend of mine works at a studio out in L.A. and he was shooting some movie there.
Really? What studio?
Well, I couldn't tell you. Don't know.
Okay, like, then you've lost all validity on this story.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I mean, you know, you're saying it, you're trying to tell a story, you're limping through it, but you're not giving us any kind of background at all. You know, even when you're gonna slam somebody, you need a little, just a tiny little bit of credibility.
Well, I can tell you the name of the band the guy plays in, but I don't know what studio he works at.
All right, so he's in a studio and
hey, Bob. I can tell you the name of the band he plays in, Bob. Don't know the studio, Bob.
So you guys want to hear it or not?
No.
No.
Don't think so.
No, not at all.
Thank you, though.
Well,
bye-bye.
I thought it was a very lovely story.
Mm-hmm.
And you tell it so well.
Such enthusiasm.
Such enthusiasm.
Stallone is a good actor, but he's no Gregory Pecker. Donna Mike Show.
Dynamite.
I bet you could see that. I bet you'd see that name if you went back. The annals of pornography over the years. And you
looked
at the
credits. That's a good name for a porno star.
I know. It's so good to be out there.
Judy, Judy, Judy. This is Gregory Pecker. Hello.
Hey, Dynamite. Since you were talking about movies,
yes?
It made me think about when you used to do reviews of movies that you haven't seen.
Mm-hmm.
Remember when you used to do that?
Yes.
And I was wondering if you're ever going to do that again.
Probably not. We have a motto on this show that's called Ever Forward.
Ever Forward.
If we did the same old crap all the time, mm-hmm. we wouldn't have our listeners. We like to switch things up.
Yeah.
How much longer are you going to keep Dennis Murphy on for?
All right, that's the exception to the rule.
Yeah, Dennis, and the thing about Dennis is, he's new every month. He
and
does something.
He's a major effing star.
Yes, he is.
And right now he's on super double secret probation for being such a jerk to his girlfriend. The next time you hear Dennis Murphy on the show, he will be going under a doctor's hand to have his eyes surgically altered via laser surgery.
That's going to be incredible. I bet we're all going to have to wear goggles.
Now, listen,
how will that be?
You can ask us about a movie if you want, because we're still bright enough to review movies without having to see them. So I'll give you a free shot. What movie?
Rounders.
Sucks.
Great.
Hello, Donna Mike Show.
How was that? Was that quick? That's the abbreviated version.
Hello.
Hello.
That's the movie with Matt Damon,
yeah,
right?
It's nice to see we picked up where we left off, too, with that. I was seriously that close to going to see that movie. Because it's about poker.
I hate Matt Damon.
That's why I wanted to go see, because it's about poker.
He's so queer.
Yeah,
I really don't like Matt Damon.
See, I agree with you 1,000% on Matt Damon.
I mean, I'm not talking about his sexuality. I'm just talking about...
You just don't like him.
Queer. Like, odd, man. Like,
I don't like him.
He's like...
He's creepy.
He's like Lenny DiCaprio, 30 pounds heavier.
Yeah, he's got a creepy factor. And I especially don't like that other guy. That wrote.
I don't like him either. I don't like him either.
He's too much of a slicky boy.
Ben Affleck, right?
Right. Mm-hmm.
That for some reason, I see those two guys. I might
be peckerheads.
I might be totally wrong when I look at those two guys, but when I see them both, I think privileged class. I think that they're rich boys, little rich boys. That's what I think.
Like butt buddies.
Yeah.
Hello?
Let's make a movie. Mommy will give me the money.
Hello there.
What was the movie that John Waters made with the scratch sniff cards?
I
can't remember the name of it.
Is that wasn't Serial Mom, and it wasn't the one with Divine. It wasn't Hair. Wait, that wasn't Hairspray, was it?
No, it wasn't Hairspray.
No.
Then there was another one that was another Baltimore-based movie.
I don't know. It doesn't matter. All his movies are the same. They all stink. What was it, Robbie?
Was it Pink Flamingos?
Yes.
Yeah.
Pink Flamingos.
I was hoping he'd have something like that in this new movie. I saw the movie. It was it was okay. It was kind of like a black comedy. It was kind of gross. They're all the same. They're based in Baltimore, and they got a lot of fat...
I said it was a black comedy. Or was it like Moesha or something?
I believe Don, when he used the word, probably ill-advised, he was speaking of the fact that it was a bit morbid.
Oh, I gotcha. I thought it was like that UPN show about Lincoln's slave.
Hey, let me tell you something. Moesha getting great reviews in the newspaper.
Hello, have you seen about the show with Lincoln's slave?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
There's a show about Lincoln's slave.
You didn't know that?
No.
Yeah, we talked about it.
On UPN.
Oh, that's right.
There's a show that's being picketed about Lincoln's slave.
Right.
And I think it also includes the fact that Lincoln's a homo in some part of the show.
So it's a comedy.
Yes, it's supposed to be a comedy.
It's supposed to be.
Right,
yeah.
Well, comedies are interesting even when they are getting picketed.
You are right about Moesha, though. UPN is definitely the network for brothers.
Yes. Moesha also got a lot better reviews than two of the other things I was reading about.
Fox used to be the network that had all the black shows.
Right.
Then it was the WB, and now it's UPN.
Right.
If you're starting a network, you build it on minorities, and then you move on.
Then you move on to the whites.
That's apparently how it works.
I hope not. I like the WB. I enjoy that, and I think they ought to stay right with it. And if anybody's thinking about
calling...
Can you
name one show on the WB?
Moesha.
That's on UPN, man.
Oh, damn.
Yeah.
Gee, I can't. The thing is, you know, you'll get calls with people saying, well, they, you know, there's a network just for minorities. What about everybody else? Well, there always were redneck shows, too, for a long period of time. Right. Hee-haw.
CBS, I believe, was the redneck network. Was the official redneck network.
Absolutely.
CBS had Andy Mayberry.
Green Acres.
Petticoat Junction.
Gunsmoke.
Dukes of Hazzard.
They had them all.
Hell, CBS was your white trash network, right?
Very rural in the late 60s. Yeah.
Right, and at one point they did a house cleaning because they didn't like the image. It was like Green Acres was the number one show.
Gomer Pyle.
Another great redneck show that CBS was proud to bring to your TV screens.
Right.
ABC was like the cool network, right? Because they had like Mod Squad.
Right.
And
Batman. Right.
Cutting edge shows.
Yeah. And then CBS, you know, had that period during the 70s where they actually had a few shows that everybody liked.
Yeah, like Mary Tyler Moore and All in the Family.
Right. And then, of course, we've moved into where we are now where they simply don't know what they're doing.
That's true.
Yeah, who watches Touched by an Angel?
Yeah.
Do you realize that for all of the talking we do about how awful that show was?
It's a hit. Yeah.
You know, that show was the number one rated show 2 weeks ago?
Yeah.
I mean, beat Friends.
Right.
Beat ER.
Yeah.
Who are these people?
Have you ever logged an entire episode of Touched by an Angel?
Who are these people?
Never.
Not even a partial.
I'm
never. I'm going to do that. I'm going to do that when when Della Reese is on.
Oh, well, of course.
Hello. Yes, hello there. Hi. Hi.
You guys remember when you used to call that old lady and you bought her all that stuff?
Oh, you mean Olivette Spellman?
Yeah, that was awesome. That was awesome.
Hey, all right,
that's
come on.
Guy.
Yeah. Come on, get out of here. Hello, Dynamite Show.
Buddy.
Hey, Baldy.
Don, you talked about your dog. Hey, you know, first of all, I know you love your dog, so I'm gonna take this advice with great measure.
Wait a minute. I'd like to point out, were we talking about your dog?
Not today.
No.
What about my dogs?
Well, you bought a shock collar for, I think it was Clink.
Oh, all my dogs have that. That's the electric fence.
Yeah, well, you know, I'm about ready to plunk down a couple $100. Does it work?
Yeah, it works great.
All right, well, then...
Works great. I'd like to put it on humans. As a matter of fact, I know I told the story on there. There's a certain guy I know. I can't say his name because he's a friend of my wife and mine.
Oh, my God.
How did that guy get through?
Wow.
There's a guy that's a friend of ours that, at college parties, used to get drunk with his friends.
Right.
And they would put on the collar,
mm-hmm.
and they would run through the electric fence.
Just for kicks.
Yeah.
Turned up real high. Oh! Give me another drink.
Because they were drunk.
Oh, wow.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Buddy.
Hey, Baldy. Hello.
I only got one thing to say about last night's game. Hello, Charlie.
Wait, was that more gang code, I guess.
Yeah, I believe so.
Was he referring to, like, when he wasn't trying to equate it with the Red Sox call that
oh, you know what? I bet he was. I bet he
was. Doesn't count.
I bet that's about the Green Bay Packers, right?
Yeah, that has to be it.
Yeah, well, see, that wasn't a huge game, though. I mean...
No, and also, there wouldn't be an opportunity for sport now that you're basically not with the Cubs anymore,
right.
And with your football loyalties rather well dispersed, there would never be an opportunity for me to do that, unless if it was the Packers in the Super Bowl and it came down to the... But still, it doesn't amount to what I invest emotionally in the Red Sox, which means you can call me like that and go, hello, Charlie.
I would like to say, though, that for anybody just tuning in, I'm not like a Johnny-come-lately with the Green Bay Packers.
No, you've rooted the Packers all your life.
My kid is named Bart after Bart Starr, because Bart Starr visited me in the hospital when I was a kid.
But because when you've moved around, you've kind of like adopted other teams.
Yeah.
And it's like, you know, it's like I've been in hockey, like adopting different teams along the road.
I worked in Chicago for 5 years. I became a Bears fan there.
Because
I worked
in
Pittsburgh.
You know, do that.
Worked in Pittsburgh for 3 years. I became a Steelers fan when I lived there.
Mm-hmm.
When I worked in L.A., I was a Rams fan. I live in a Redskins fan since I lived in D.C.
So I'm waiting for you someday, if it ever happens, to come back and like the Cubs as much as you used to, and then maybe someday I'll be able to make that call, but I doubt it. You'll have like 8 more opportunities in the next 4 years to make those calls to me when it comes to the Red Sox breaking my heart.
Hello, Dynamike.
Hi, Dynamike.
Yes, ma'am.
Hi.
Hi.
I don't know if you guys have already been told, but John Waters' Scratch and Sniff movie was polyester.
Oh, we have the wrong movie. What did we say?
Pink Flamingos is what we said.
No, that wasn't us. I would like to point out Rob Spiewak was the operator error there.
Boy, that's quite a filmography, the John Waters filmography.
It's like I ever made a good movie.
I know you got polyester.
Hello.
Spray.
Hi, how are you?
Hi, Don and Mike Show. We're doing great.
Good. You just asked who watched this Touched by an Angel. I watched that.
All right, well, we didn't mean it literally.
Well, I mean, no, you can't knock that show. It's a nice show.
Oh, yeah. Right, sure it is.
It's
show's a piece of garbage.
No, it's right up there with Sabrina.
Excuse me, it's not a piece of garbage when Ms. Reese is on the show.
And furthermore, I think anyone who listens, anyone who listens to this show could not watch Touched by an Angel.
Right.
It's too conflicting. It's like opposite extremes, man.
It is opposite extremes, but I do both.
People can have their evil side listening to this show, and how then they go home and watch Touched by an Angel and feel better about themselves.
How can you patronize a show where we openly say to people, F you and your families,
right,
and then you go home and you want to watch Touched by an Angel?
I'm really good at F you and your family at work, too.
Yeah. She's just proved it.
Yeah,
now. Amazing.
You just must not be bright, then.
Oh, God.
Sorry about that.
I mean, touch by an angel, please.
Please.
Touch my angel. Right now.
Touch my angel.
All right, goodbye.
Goodbye.
Who are these people?
Who are all these people?
I mean, obviously, there's a lot of idiots watching that show because that's the number one rated show in all of television.
Absolutely. Right. It's just like the same people that you go to church. You see the people in church on Sunday, and, that's the same guy on Friday that, was turning over tables and smacking people in the head.
Oh, yeah.
The good Catholic guy that got in the bar fight, and had his neck chain off and then broke another guy's nose and then shows up and sees the guy across from him in church with a big Band-Aid across his nose, being all preachy. That's when he lost his faith.
From personal experience, wow. Or what?
Sorry.
I hadn't heard that story before.
Carried away there.
Seems to me a lot of old people watch Touched by an Angel.
Right?
It's the same Murder, She Wrote audience.
Mm-hmm.
People that generally are just filling space, waiting to die. Those are the people that watch Touched by an Angel.
You don't like the show Touched by an Angel, do you?
No. You picked up on that. I don't think you'd like it either. I don't think it's your type of show, Mike.
I used to like the Waltons. Does that mean I might like Touched by an Angel?
Well,
I mean, way back when, the early, right after the Christmas Walton show.
Everybody watched the Waltons, though, when we were kids, though.
Yeah, it's been a long time. Yeah,
right. I mean, now you're a grown-up.
Things have changed.
I get the impression that Touched by an Angel would be just so total Kathy Lee syrupy. You know
right.
I mean?
And that's exactly why you wouldn't like it. That's why most smart people don't like it.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it's number one in dumb people. Hello? Yes, I hear you there.
Snatch your ass up in a bear trap, motherfucker.
Yeah. Is he off? Is he off the line?
Piece of garbage. I had to delete him out twice.
God.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Hey, Billy, how are you?
Howdy. Get over here. I haven't seen you in
years. How you doing, Billy?
Jesus Christ, old lady.
You look terrific.
Watch this, you little prick. Hey, I know you all my life.
All right, good.
People getting too big on me now.
Don't go busting my balls, Billy, okay?
Hey, Tommy, if I didn't break your balls, I'd tell you to go home and get your shine box. Oh, this kid was great. They used to call him Spit Shining Tommy. I swear to God. Oh, he'd make your shoes look like mirrors. Excuse my language. He was terrific. He was the best. He made a lot of money, too. Salud, Tommy.
No more shines, Billy.
What?
I said no more shines. Maybe you didn't hear about it. You've been away a long time. They didn't go up there and tell you. I don't shine shoes anymore.
Relax. Will you for crying out? What's got into you? I'm breaking your balls a little bit. That's all. I'm only kidding with you.
You don't sound like you're kidding. You know, there's a lot of people around.
I mean, I'm only kidding with you. We're having a party. I mean, I just came home. I haven't seen you in a long time, and I'm breaking your balls, and you're right away, you're getting fresh. I'm sorry. I don't mean to offend you.
I'm sorry, too. It's okay. No problem.
Okay. Salud. Now go home and get your shine box.
Motherfucker! You!
Yeah. Come on! Let him go.
Come on! Keep him here! Come on! Fast! Come on! Keep him here! Come on!
Bad! Come on! You're
strong!
I'm sorry, Tommy gets a little loaded. He doesn't mean any disrespect. You don't mean any disrespect, Henry. Are you nuts? He's just kidding those manners. Hey, Jimmy, what's right is right. You understand what I'm talking about?
It's all right.
No, I mean, the kids over here, I was hugging and kissing over here, and 2 minutes later, he's acting like a f***ing jerk.
No. You insulted him a little bit. You got a little out of order yourself.
No, I didn't insult him.
You insulted him a little bit.
No, I didn't insult nobody. Give us a drink.
Okay.
Come on, let's have some drinks, all right? Drinks on the house. Come on, let me...
Yeah, no, have the drink with me.
No.
Back him up.
Billy.
No.
Drinks around the house.
Go on. Break up my party.
I've been away for 6 years.
Yeah.
That's how joyous.
I did my time, Jimmy. I come home, and I want what I gotta get. I got mouths to feed.
Really?
You understand?
Pretty sure.
Yeah. Get the door!
play some sick. I'm never fine. Come on, let's get some more tape for us.
I don't like to fly on your floor.
I'll open your trunk.
The Don and Mike Show.
I can't remember being surrounded by so much happiness. I'm so happy. I can't wait to come back tomorrow.
Fantastic.
Two tumbling, tumbling dickweeds. Don Geronimo and Michael Mara.
I want to try to call a strip club in Moscow. This is the first ever Chippendales-like strip club in Moscow.
Male dancing, Boris in the fashion.
Now, I'm not sure if most all gays go there.
Right, or whether it's a woman's place.
The name of the place is the Hungry Duck.
Welcome to the Hungry Duck.
That's D-U-C-K, not something else that you thought I might have said.
Hello there, boy check or girl check. See how many rubles you can cram into G-string. I will also accept roll of toilet paper.
Buzz, let me ask you, what time is it in Russia right now?
Look, I'm going to guess it's about 12:30. Let me go look.
Hello?
Hello, is this the Hungry Duck?
Yeah, Hungry Duck.
Hey, dude, hello. This is the Don and Mike Show calling you from the very powerful nation of America.
Yeah.
Hi.
How are things going at the Hungry Duck?
Yeah, the Hungry Duck things are going good. We still have people.
Now, is this a gay club or is this a club for women?
No, it's not a gay. It's not a gay club. It's not even a lazy man club. It's just a club for everybody.
It's a club.
Everybody want to have fun. Everybody want to dance. Just is coming in here.
You think I have to tell a guy in Russia he's on the air?
Nah.
Huh?
Nah. Never mind. Listen.
Yeah.
So, do you have men dancing on stage there?
Yeah, we do.
Now, with all the problems, you know, your government is like collapsing and you guys are one step away from communism again. I'm surprised that people would have the money to go and
watch. They do. They have money. Just they're coming towards the show. They're coming to have fun. Oh. No problem. They're still just coming a lot.
So you can come into your club, the Hungry Duck, drink some vodka, and watch men.
Everything you want. And just to drink vodka, drink whiskey, drink everything you want.
And do you watch men take their clothes off?
Yeah, actually, we've got like striptease for the men striptease.
Men striptease,
but it's always for the girls.
Do they get?
We've got to know like we've got ladies striptease to male female striptease on Mondays.
I think he's saying he has both.
Do you have total nudity in your club?
Yeah, actually, when men are doing striptease, I mean they undress the girls too because they are just like playing with the girls.
They play with the girls?
Yeah.
Really?
Oh, wow.
Now, do the dancers take off all of their clothes?
No, they don't take all of their clothes because they just stay in the pants.
Just they stay in their pants?
Yeah, sexy pants.
Sexy pants.
So you guys, you watch movies. Uh-huh.
You guys don't get the full Monty ski.
No.
And do the women take their tops off when they strip?
No, for sure. Not on the tops. They take everything off.
Oh, the women take everything off?
Yeah, we allow them just to do everything they want.
Oh.
So you mean a woman can get up there and be totally naked with her place?
Yeah,
and with
no problem.
With her boobs?
Yeah, no problem.
How much does it cost American to get into the Hungry Duck?
Yeah, to get into the Hungry Duck for American, like for Russian, it costs, considering the night, it costs 1,000 rubles. No, 1 rubles. 100 rubles.
And how much is that American?
100 rubles, it's like It's about just $8.
$8 to get into
bargain.
The what are the names of some of your dancers?
The name of the dancers?
Yeah. What are some of the names of the individual dancers?
Yeah, we got like a black man who's just dancing. His name Dylan.
Dylan.
Yeah, yeah. Dylan.
Yeah.
Who else?
We got another Russian guy whose name is Sergey.
Sergey.
Yeah.
Yeah. How about the women that dance? Are there any names for the women?
Yeah, the women, one of them, Nastya, she's Russian. All of them are Russian.
Nadia.
All of them are
Nastya,
Russian?
Nastya.
And does anything else happen if a guy was to come to you and say, listen, I really like the woman that's dancing right now. I will give you 100 rubles if she will meet me in the back room. Is there any of that goes on?
No, those kind of girls you don't have. But
you don't.
Actually, the girls are coming in the dark. Uh-huh. There are girls with whom you can talk.
They're
kind of polite and civilized girls.
Oh, very
polite,
nice.
Civilized.
And just you talk to her, like poetry, like a German.
Yeah.
And Sam just can agree just to do everything you want.
Has Boris Yeltsin ever come into your club?
He never been here, but there are some of the leaders Mm-hmm. The leaders of the parties.
Yeah, sure.
You ever get
even the Prime Minister of Canada, who was in here.
Prime Minister of Canada.
Yeah.
Who's the most famous celebrity that's been in the Hungry Duck?
Zhirinovsky,
Vladimir Zhirinovsky, the opposition leader.
You ever get any like American movie stars in there?
Yeah. Who? Indeed.
Who? Can name one.
Yeah, we had like Van Damme, who was in here.
Jean-Claude Van Damme.
Very nice. Who was in here? Uh-huh. Sam, I met this one. He was in here. Mick Jagger.
Mick Jagger?
Yeah, Mick Jagger
Mick
was
Jagger.
In here.
Wow.
Sure.
Yeah.
Really?
You know these guys from Boney M, they were here.
The guys from who, sir?
Bonham.
The guys from Bonham.
Bonham? You mean Led Zeppelin?
Yeah, no. These girls, there are two girls from Bonham. Bonham.
Bonnie M.
Bonnie M. We never heard of Bonnie M.
I don't know that, M.
Perhaps European stars.
All these European singers. You know Jean-Michel Jarre?
Oh, sure. Yeah, we're big fans.
Right. Yeah, it's very... He's playing with electronic lights, everything like that.
Wow. Yes.
Has David Hasselhoff ever been in?
Who?
David Hasselhoff?
Exactly.
No, I didn't see him yet.
How about Tony Randall?
No.
David Letterman?
No.
Hmm.
But there are some of these big stars who are coming to Russia.
How about any of our
some of them just are, you know, like having a look in the Hunger Dog.
How about like Dan Rather, Peter Jennings, Tom Brokaw?
No.
Garrick Utley?
No, you know what? I'm not working every night, so it means that maybe they came when I'm not there.
Yeah, maybe when you're not there.
What I'm telling you is that when I'm there.
Are you a native Russian? Because your English is very good.
No, I'm a manager. I'm from South Africa.
You're from South Africa.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Wow.
I manage this place, actually.
How about Julio Iglesias? You ever been in there?
Oh, Julio Iglesias, when he was in Moscow, indeed, he has been here.
Oh, he has been there.
Sure. That's great.
All right, here's another one. How about Fabio?
And he was with like five girls, Russian girls, very nice ones, perfect ones.
Wow. Has Fabio ever been in?
Who?
Fabio?
No, Fabio.
No, Fabio.
Yeah.
Really, has Michael Bolton ever been in your club?
No, he never been in Moscow, even.
Sinbad?
No, he never been in Moscow, too.
Eddie Murphy?
Not yet.
Michael Douglas?
They never been in Moscow. How are you going to them coming down with
How about Val Kilmer?
Like Michael Jackson, first of all.
Michael Jackson, what would he be doing? Well, maybe he'd like to see the boys
dance. No, the place is not so far from the hotel where he stayed.
And you got all the American drinks in there?
Yeah, for sure. We've got Jack Daniels, we've got like Jim Beam, you know, the Mikey, American whiskeys.
American whiskey.
Yeah, Russian vodka.
Do you have
everybody just drinking like Russian vodka because... this one, everybody want to test, you know, like Russian vodka.
Sure. Do you have chocolate bars and nylons in there?
Yeah, indeed, we've got orange, indeed.
Okay.
Mm.
And
we're drinking like Irish cream, like things like that.
Oh, Bailey's Irish cream.
Is it still tough to get toilet paper in Russia?
Huh?
Is it tough to get toilet paper?
Yeah, indeed, you can.
You can get to, does the Hungry Duck have plenty of toilet paper in the bathrooms?
Yeah, you know, no problem.
Are Russian citizens still fighting in the streets for pieces of cheese?
No, they don't fight. They don't fight in the streets. That's what they show on TV. It's not everywhere. You understand?
So a Rus-
just in all some places, not just everywhere in Russia.
Moscow's doing okay?
Yeah, Moscow's doing okay. Indeed, because of the crisis, they're spent. The status is now low. It's not like like before the crisis.
Right.
But it's okay. They're still just spending money because they are rich. These Russians are very rich.
Russians are very rich. The Russians that come to your club.
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
Okay. Anytime you come, just to ask about Johnny. My name is Johnny.
Oh, your name is Johnny.
Yeah,
okay.
Johnny. Yeah.
Right,
Johnny.
The manager here.
Okay, gotcha. Hey, listen.
Anytime you came in, just to ask for Johnny. No problem. You never had any problem.
Mm-hmm. One last question.
You will just to tell them you coming from America, and then no problem. We're going.
Has the famous American star Dick Van Patten ever been in?
Okay, Johnny, you welcome anytime you want.
All right, thank you, bye-bye.
Thanks, Johnny.
Bye-bye.
Okay, bye-bye.
And his name, of course, is Johnny.
Mr. Johnny.
He's wild, wild stuff, yeah.
Thank you, Mr. Johnny.
That's a South African working at a strip club in Moscow.
He says the Russians are very rich.
Mm-hmm.
I bet he has a ponytail. I just got that sense.
Hi, you asked for Johnny. Johnny let you in to see all the boys and girls take their clothes off.
When in Moscow, make it the Hungry Duck.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that right, Cakes?
Yeah, there was going to be some kind of punishment.
Right, we'll be right back. Oh, listen. about the Hungry Duck.
Yes.
Here's a guy who says he's been to Moscow and he's been to the Hungry Duck.
Must be a real stomping ground for Americans over there.
Is this John?
Yeah. Hey, Don and Mike. This is John from Herndon.
Hi, John.
Hey, that place, I can't believe you guys called the Duck. That place is nuts.
It's nuts. Duck. It's a good place, huh?
The Duck is very good place.
In what way is it a very good place, sir?
It's a target-rich environment.
Really?
Really, yeah.
A lot of Muscovite women looking for American husbands?
Nice, boo.
Now, listen, do the women, and I bet there's lots of untrimmed gardens. The women generally in Russia, you think of like remember when Jim Carrey used to be the weightlifter on In Living Color when he would wear the string bikini?
Right.
That's what I think most of the women in Russia look like. You tell me that there's some decent-looking women in the strip club?
Au contraire, Mofer, that place is it is nice bush everywhere.
Really?
Wow. Oh, yeah.
And are they friendly?
Yes, especially to Westerners. They kind of like the West. Not so much in Moscow anymore because they get to see us so much, but some of the other places.
Because guys like you have ruined it for everybody else.
Well, yeah. But that place is. And that guy Sergei he was talking about, the male stripper, he's a fag. He's a total fag.
But, well, you know, we were trying to talk to Johnny. Do the women take it off too?
Not just the strippers. There are, you can find customers in there who just take it off. The last time I was there were two girls going at it on the bar.
Are you kidding? So one of our Las Vegas-style shows.
Yeah, it was quite like a Las Vegas-style show.
Are you a married guy, John?
Yes, I am. In fact, my wife has her ear against the phone right now. I'm waiting to find out the reaction after I hang up the phone.
Then can you? I was going to ask, when you were there, did it go any further? Did you see other guys?
There you go.
Going further than
yes, I did. In fact, I saw a few guys in the back. Remember, you're asking if a guy can go in the back room.
And Johnny was saying to us that you can go back and talk and recite poetry and things like that.
Yeah, and you can braid each other's hair and bitch about your hips, but you can go back there and there are women back there. They'll just basically plop a seat on you. And
yeah, I just want to say, if your wife is really standing right next to you, you're a very brave man.
Yes, you are. Very courageous. Wow. So anything goes in those back rooms?
The Duck alone, the Duck is just a nuts place. Anything goes in the Duck.
The Duck.
So it's kind of like the way Studio 54 used to be in the United States.
They have a ladies' night where they let in, women get in free and until 9:30. Then they close the doors. They let 250 people in. So you get there early to get everybody in. You get in there with all the women for free. So you end up with five guys and 245 women.
You realize you're not going to be married after the end of this conversation.
I think it's my duty as an American to go there and spread the idea of capitalism and free trade.
You spread more than just your ideas when you were there.
You said spread.
Spread.
Wow. She gets around.
Hey, but speaking of which, I got a buddy of mine who's working at the embassy in Moscow right now. He gets back on the 17th.
Yeah.
What I should do is tomorrow give him a call and have him go there during the week and have him give you a call from the bar.
From the bar at the Hungry Duck.
From the Duck.
Listen, Mr. Halper, why don't you put your wife on the phone?
Okay. Hold on.
Yeah. Very good. We'd like to see how she's handling all this.
I'd like to speak to you, Hal.
What's your name? Holly?
Holly.
Holly.
Okay.
It's not going to be Jolly for Holly.
Hello?
Hey, Holly.
Holly.
Oh, yes.
I hope when he gets back from Russia, you thoroughly smell his fingers.
I smell everything.
Wow, it sounds like... does he go over to Russia very often?
Yeah, he does.
Oh, dear. Man.
Has he ever had, the painful drip, drip, drip or anything?
Oh, no. No.
You go through his things when he returns from his business trips?
No, not at all.
Really? You trust him, huh?
Completely.
Do you think he behaves himself?
Well, I would hope so, when it comes down to the nitty-gritty, but I'm sure he does something.
Boy, oh boy.
Borderline.
Yeah, boy, he sounds like he's got a good woman here.
Man, he says
a target-rich environment.
I only hope while he's over there being Julius Caesar with the Roman fingers that, you're doing the same stateside.
Oh, please. I'm a stay-at-home mom. I have two kids.
Two kids.
Oh, my God. This guy really hit the jackpot, didn't he?
It's incredible. How often does he go overseas?
Oh, I don't know. A third of the year, maybe.
A third of the year?
God. Well, listen, there's let me ask the celebrity you most resemble.
Me?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Oh, God. The celebrity I most resemble, John.
Maybe she's a beast.
I have no idea. I know they say he looks like John Travolta.
Well, no, we're not talking about him. We're talking about you.
John. John is the man in this relationship.
We're talking about you. Holly, who's the celebrity that you most resemble? And I hope you don't say John Travolta's sister. I remember she used to be on Welcome Back, Connor.
Yeah, very scary.
John says, hold on, hold on. Yeah, right.
All right, John is thinking.
I don't know her name. She's the girl on Sybil.
The girl on Sybil with the red hair.
Oh, the young girl.
Ooh, really?
Pretty odd.
That's not bad.
Although, you know, there's... In some circumstances, the girl on Sybil, the Sybil's daughter, kind of looks like Carrot Top in some ways. I mean, she's a cute, yeah. She's a cute girl and everything.
I understand.
There's like three steps from Carrot Top to her.
Yeah, she's very original, isn't she?
Well, next time he goes over there, you just pack clean undies for him.
Yeah, as a matter of fact, I would check his underpants when he gets back.
Absolutely.
No, I don't touch anything of his when he gets back.
You don't? That therein might be the problem. Okay. Well, I guess, you know, what you don't know won't hurt you, right?
Oh, no, I know everything.
Oh, I wish I had an open marriage like this.
Wow.
For goodness sake.
It's a hungry duck. It's not an open marriage, huh?
It's not an open marriage that you like.
Trustworthy.
I can hear it now. John's going to come. So, honey, there's no other place to go where they like Americans.
It's John. Where's all your laundry? Honey, the airline lost all my underpants.
Oh, please, don't tell me you never look.
Well, that's true. We do look.
Uh-huh.
But you know something? That's part of our job.
That's right.
That's what he says, too.
Mm-hmm.
He's, you know, experiencing culture.
Right. Now, listen, I think the difference is that we look, but our wives are not quite as open-minded about it as you are.
If you or I were, talking about enjoying the time in the Hungry Duck, we'd be in trouble.
They probably know all your deep, dark secrets, right?
Well, yes, they do.
Yeah, that's probably true.
We've only been married for 8 years. So.
Only 8 years.
Only eight. Okay,
well, I've been married only for 4 years, but my wife knows all my deep, dark secrets.
Only for four?
Yeah.
I bet Johnny's got a few more than me and you put together, though.
Oh, absolutely.
Oh, I'm sure he does.
Yeah. All right, Holly. Sounds like the number one Hungry Duck.
All right, well, Holly, nice talking to you.
Nice talking to you, too.
Put Johnny back on, please.
All right, here you go.
Okay.
Hello?
Oh,
you son of a bitch.
Lucky
you son of a bitch.
Man, you got it going. You got it going, John.
It's not a bad life.
Yeah. Oh, leave the old lady at home with the kids. Pack up. Honey, I'm going. I'll see you in January.
Man. Just over there, you know, using your your work as your guy. What are you, a bush pilot?
When you say bush.
Mm-hmm.
What do you do for a living,
John? I'm an interpreter, actually.
You're an interpreter, so you speak the language fluently.
Yes.
Man.
Yes.
Oh, man. How do you say nice bush in Russian?
You know, it's funny you should say that, Don, because I called a couple of months ago to try to tell you that. Who was your intern back then? Charlie?
Maybe it was Canon Grace.
Yeah, and he basically said, F you, and hung up on me.
Well,
yeah.
At the time, it may have been the correct call.
It might have been.
I mean, there was a time when we were getting inundated with calls from people wanting to tell us how to say another language.
The right way to say it would be Hiroshi Kust.
That sounds nice.
Hiroshi Kust.
Hiroshi Kust. You know, there's a better way to say it that has that same rhyme as Bueno Robusto and Nice Bush.
How do you say it?
That we say around the office, and it's Krutoi Kust.
Krutoi Kust.
Say Krutoi Kust.
Now, if you walked into the middle of the Hungry Duck and you said, Krutoi Kust, what would happen?
We'd get that deer caught in the headlights look.
Oh, really?
Yeah, because it's not the same.
What do you say if you're walking up to a Russian lady and you want to make her yours? What's the first thing you would say?
Well, first of all, I'd say, Pachum.
What does that mean?
How much?
Oh, man.
That's a cramp. That's a legend.
Hey, well, you're a lucky man, John.
Yeah, Jed, lucky Johnny.
I'd play the lottery if I was you on the way home tonight, okay? But thanks for calling, John.
Hey, thanks, guys.
See you later. Bye-bye.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
It's Bob Hope's all-new celebrity vacation in the Bahamas.
Now, ladies and gentlemen, this is Bob Terp, Bob Hope, right here. Here it is. Yeah, isn't it marvelous, right?
The legendary Bob Hope, host of fun-filled hour of comedy, music, and nudity.
Ladies and gentlemen, I'm naked. How are you, baby? How are you doing?
It's all nude and all Bob, Saturday night on NBC, with special nude guests LaToya Jackson, Tony Randall, and Andy Williams.
Hey, you're naked, ladies and gentlemen. Aren't they marvelous? Take a look at them. Aren't they fabulous?
Never really laughed at Bob until you've seen him naked. It's Bob Hope's all-nude celebrity vacation in the Bahamas.
Hey, I'm naked, ladies and gentlemen.
Saturday night on NBC.
Hey, LaToya, sit right here, baby.
The Don and Mike Show.
Uh-oh. I can't hear you. I can't hear you. All I can hear is nothing. Well, I'll hang up and keep trying again, keeping me get a good sound so I can hear you.
Click, click, click.
Stay tuned for an outstanding entertainment program, the best of Don and Mike. Be there or be square.
Now, we're going to find the wacky story file. Let me tell you a couple of the things we have in our file today.
Stories we're working on.
Yes, the I-Team is working on these stories as we speak.
Okay.
The Pumpkin Picasso.
That's traditional.
Remember this from last year.
You know, Halloween just around the corner.
Now, we can sit on this until next week, though. There's no big rush on that.
There isn't a rush. We've got a window of opportunity.
Also from the National Enquirer, here's the headline. This is a story, not a phoner.
Okay.
Frail Bob Hope sends reeling by new book's ugly charges.
Oh, no. Can't they leave the poor man alone?
And here's the picture of the frail Bob Hope.
I want to tell you.
You know, this is how the Enquirer really Fs celebrities. That they write this, and if you read the headline, you think, boy, they're writing on the side of Bob Hope.
Right.
No, they're not at all.
No, it's just an excuse to put the charges in from a new book. I got to hear that.
Right. They screw him as bad as the book does. All right. Then here's another phoner that we have. Today is the anniversary, the 85th anniversary of the day that the Camel cigarettes first went on sale.
Hi.
We got some guy, some doctor, who says they use subliminal images to persuade buyers.
Okay.
For some reason, we have J.P. Morgan in the news. You remember that old cow that used to be on the Gong Show?
J.P. Morgan, my God, with Chuck Barris.
So she's promoting something, and she sent us her phone number. We also have, now this one is pretty interesting.
Okay.
A photographer from Britain who collects celebrity photographs. He's positive that whenever he receives an autographed photo from a celebrity, they die within days.
Oh, my God.
Here are the people that are on his death list. He asked for the picture of Lucille Ball. 3 days later, dead as a doornail.
That's, it depends, I guess, on when he asks for him.
He requested an autographed photo from Rock Hudson.
Mm-hmm.
3 days later, D-E-A-D.
Wow.
Also, the astronauts from the Challenger space shuttle.
Oh, wow.
He got the picture. Next day, the rocket exploded.
Well, there's one that's not a fluke.
Gandhi. Gandhi sent him a picture. The next day, the guy's dead.
Wow. This guy must be way up there in years.
Now, he says that there's only been one fly in the ointment. That recently he received an autographed book signed by Fergie.
Okay.
You know Sarah Ferguson?
Right.
Now, Fergie's still alive. Mm-hmm. However, 2 days after he received the book, Fergie's mother dies in a car crash.
Oh, my goodness.
Okay.
Coincidence?
Now, let's see. Who has he requested recently? Excuse me. President Clinton.
Okay.
Kate Bush.
Mm-hmm.
Nelson Mandela.
Yeah.
And Fidel Castro. He has not received the photographs back yet. He maintains
he has to have them in his possession.
As soon as he gets the picture back, within 3 days, boom, they're dead.
That's pretty interesting. And he's British?
Yes.
Fantastic.
I also got a story about some 450-pound woman who's got a role in a Shirley MacLaine movie. Something about cockfighting in Arizona. Celebrity trash auction. And the guy who thinks that marble should become an Olympic sport.
I guess you don't want to read that Bob Hope story, do you?
Hey, dealer's choice. You want it?
Yeah, I'd love to hear it.
You got it.
All right.
Frail Bob Hope and his family.
Ladies and gentlemen, your host, Bob Hope.
Yeah, wow, man. Maybe we should call the guy in Britain and ask him to request a picture from Bob Hope.
Yeah, you better get to him pretty quick.
Frail Bob Hope and his family are shattered and reeling over a new biography that portrays the beloved entertainer as an unloving husband who kept a mistress until age 90.
Get out of here, Dolores. I'm in here with my special someone.
Yeah, I like your dress.
I love your dress.
Do you?
It's pretty.
What a terrible disgrace for this type of stuff to hit now, declared one longtime family friend.
I kept my mistress till I was 90.
His health is failing.
Oh. I can't see.
He can barely see.
Oh.
Has trouble hearing. And has to be held by an assistant when he walks.
Wow, yeah, this is little Joey Lawrence, isn't he, Lawrence?
But in spite of his physical problems, he bravely continues to make public appearances.
The AP All-America football team.
Hey, yeah, where's that tape, Rob? Get that one out.
There we go. These guys be really.
This was from
the last special. And the real last Christmas special, right?
Like, maybe, like 8 or 9 years ago.
Was it really 8 or 9 years ago?
I think so.
Wow.
When Bob Hope was pretty feebed out, not to the point where he is now.
Right.
But listen to some of these lame jokes that he makes with the members of the AP All-American football team.
This is when they didn't do it like the way they normally do it. They put him out somewhere. Like they brought him out to Bob's house or something.
Right, because he was too feebed out to go to the studio.
That's
screen of the NCAA, the National Collegiate Athletic Association. Here they come, one by one, ton by ton, the best of the 1991 season.
Wild.
Start with the All-American defensive team, right there.
Right there, there.
Are they wild?
Junior defensive tackle, University of Washington.
See, he's certainly bigger than the other opposing linemen. In fact, he's generally bigger than the other school team's bus.
That is the same laugh track that right. we have.
Huge laugh Bob gets after these lines.
And you know, now that I'm thinking about it, I think this was actually the last one he did in the studio where the players came running out. You're thinking of the last special he did.
Where he was Jack Frost?
From his house, right.
Yeah.
Where Dolores did most of the talking, right?
A pit group, an L-shaped couch.
He was very last one.
In the corner. Dolores did the talking.
They brought people to him. This is the last one they did with the football team.
Right. Where he's actually standing on the stage and each of the big dumb football players runs out and Bob says the stupid joke.
You can actually hear the reason this was the last AP All-American football team that appeared on the show.
And here's the laugh track they used, the same one we have.
There it is.
Okay, more Bob Hope.
Right there.
Santana Dotson, defensive lineman, senior, Baylor University.
See, that's how old this tape is. Santana Dotson has played for Tampa Bay like for 6 years.
It's tough to figure out who's harder to understand, the football players or Bob.
Opposing players say that being blocked by this guy is an experience. You can get to see what grass looks like from underneath.
Same laugh. Hand me applause. The laugh followed by applause.
Exactly the same.
Brad Culpepper, senior defensive tackle from Sunny University of Florida.
When Brad was only 2 years old, he had his picture taken on a bearskin rug. Actually, it wasn't a rug exactly. It was a real bear that Brad had in a hammerlock.
A real bear that Brad had in a hammerlock.
University of Iowa, senior.
Yes, sir. Opposing players say that after this guy tackled you, you hear bells, which is a good sign. It means you probably still have ears.
That's wild, Bob. Exact same laugh every time.
Bob Jones, inside linebacker, East Carolina University senior.
Yes, sir. Opposing players tell me that you can get up after this guy tackles you, but some assembly may be required.
A little trouble with opposing players.
You know, opposing players. Gary.
Marvin Jones, inside linebacker, sophomore, Florida State University.
I understand this guy got hit by a train this summer, but it's okay. Amtrak is not billing him for damages.
Wild. Plus, wild, Bob.
Joe Bowden, inside linebacker, senior, University of Oklahoma.
This guy has some appetite. I took him through a drive-in the other day. He ate the car in front of us.
God damn it, those are even bad jokes. Nice to see the writers continue to work hard for Bob, even into his later years.
Okay, in spite of his physical problems, bravely continues to make public appearances.
Mm-hmm.
Bob is a national treasure. The book, Bob Hope, The Road Well Traveled, is also expected to infuriate fans who regard Bob as a legend.
Mm-hmm.
He never made himself out to be a godlike figure, says one family friend. Fans who laughed at Bob in his classic Casanova's Big Night might be surprised by the book's claim that he was a real-life Casanova, even keeping a mistress until age 90. She lived a few blocks away and ran to her house when wife Dolores was gone.
Come on, get out of here. Dolores is coming. You gotta get out of the room.
But Bob didn't turn to her for sex or even romance at his age. Instead, the mistress gave him friendship and emotional reassurance.
Opposing players say, my mistress gives me emotional support. Yeah, isn't that great? Thank you. Thank you very much.
Today, Bob and Dolores Hope are trapped in a marriage that is a hollow sham. When Bob had flowers placed in Dolores' bedroom for their 60th wedding anniversary, she ignored them and cruelly turned her back on her husband's tender attempts at romance.
Let me tell you something. My mistress has more screws in her resume than Bob Vila. Yeah.
Wow. Wow.
The book claims that Bob and Dolores now spend as much time as possible in different parts of the house. An aide describes dinner at Bob's Toluca Lake house, where Bob sits at one end of the table and Doris at the other, as an uneasy silence, saying Bob can't wait for the meal to be over so he could get away from his wife, and back to his own part of the house.
I finish the meals quicker now.
Especially since they're in an incredible blender. Yeah.
The book also describes Bob Hope as a cold father to his four adopted children. Once in 1962, when he was in D.C. to see his eldest son graduate from Georgetown, he accepted an invitation to escape from his family and visit JFK at the White House. He was soon visiting the White House frequently, and the reports that Bob Hope introduced JFK to more than a few Hollywood glamour girls. The book also says Bob Hope is notoriously cheap. He never tips cabbies or waiters, expecting them to feel honored that they can wait on him. Bob accused highly respected comics, including Milton Berle and Sid Caesar, of stealing his jokes. And Bob Hope exploited soldiers during his USO tours, using the publicized events to procure more starlets for himself and to enhance his popularity.
Yeah, come on up on the C-130, baby. We'll trip the light fantastic.
You know, that's not that great after the headline.
Well, it's, you know, and it's not all that big a deal when you read some of the stuff that goes on now. I mean, sure he did. He was Bob Hope. We read that a long time. Remember, didn't we read a book where he took he cruised Palm Springs at night in a big Cadillac or
right.
something like that? He just cruised down. Hey, I'm Bob Hope. Come on over to the car, baby.
Frail Bob Hope sent reeling by New Books Ugly Charges. Frail Bob Hope should be reeled by this special he did 9 years ago.
Kevin Smith, senior defensive back, Texas A&M University.
This guy has a philosophy that anything that's in the air belongs to him. Five times this year, Goodyear have to buy their blimp back from him.
Put this guy out of his misery, please.
Terrell Buckley, junior defensive back, Florida State University.
Yes, sir. This guy sticks to opposing pass receivers like glue.
Opposing.
He's a fierce defender of his territory. In fact, one player hollered, "Okay, you can stop covering me now and let me finish my shower."
You know something? You know, and it's probably not on tape, there has to be an outtake reel from that.
Yeah, these were the best takes that he gave.
I don't want to do it anymore. Yeah, opposing players
were rolling. This is the good one.
I don't want to do it anymore. Where's my mistress?
Darrell Williams, defensive back, junior, University of Miami.
Once he didn't hear the whistle to end the play, and he tackled the entire brass section of the marching band.
Wild, Bob. Really wild.
Yay!
Dale Carter, defensive back, senior, University of Tennessee.
Yes, sir. This guy's a quick defender five games this year. When the referee tossed the coin, he intercepted it.
Wild. Bob Hope is wild.
Mark Bounds, senior punter, Texas Tech University.
Yeah, this fella gets a lot of hang time. He kicked one ball against SMU, and by the time it came down, they were playing Rice.
Damn, he's lame. He's so lame.
But that article, you know, and you know that's not true, that Bob's not, you know, Bob's not even aware of that article, much less upset about it.
You got to say this for him.
Yes.
He hangs in there, man.
He does indeed.
He's still alive, right?
He is still alive, and he still makes public appearances.
All right, we have one call about Bob Hope, then we're going to set up Can You Get to 10. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hey, I got a Bob Hope story for you.
Wow, do you ever take a crap on home plate, baby?
Oh, baby, almost, baby.
Wow.
I used to work in radio down in Gainesville, Florida, home of the Gators.
Yep.
And every year they have this big party they call Gator Growls, homecoming deal. And they bring in
Gator Growl, right? I've heard of that.
What's that?
I've heard of that.
Oh, you have?
Yeah.
Well, the year before, they brought in Robin Williams, and he was so dirty is that they totally turned around and did the opposite thing and brought in Bob Hope the next year. Well, he came out, and he was so bad is that in the middle of his routine, they have this big thing down there. The colors are orange and blue, and one side of the stadium yells orange, and the other side yells blue. Well, the stadium started doing this in the middle of his routine. And Bob Hope stopped what he was doing and asked his manager to come up to the stage, and we had him mic'd. And he came up, he said, "What are they doing?" He says, "They're yelling orange and blue." And the guy says, "Well, make them stop." Hope said, "Make them stop." And the guy says, "How do you make 80,000 people stop doing this?" He turns around and walks off the stage.
Why'd you get out of the radio business?
Well.
Okay, right.
That's a good story.
You tell it so well.
Now for the offensive
team. Greg Skripnak, offensive tackle, senior at the University of Michigan.
You know,
yes, sir. Greg was big.
What? I find myself now, after you did that, listening for the players to see who's been successful in the NFL.
Like Terrell Buckley. You heard of him. He plays for Miami.
This is cool.
The first, in fact, the stroke was delivered, had to train by bench pressing a Greyhound bus.
What?
The short photo is a fold-out.
Why?
Where's my mister? Jerry Ostrowski, Sr., offensive guard, University of Tulsa.
Yes, sir. 21 years ago, Jerry Ostrowski made history. He was the biggest baby ever born in the city of Collegeville, and the city of Scranton, and the city of Pittsburgh. He was so big, he was born in three cities.
Thanks for the clarification, Bob.
Explain the joke, Bob.
Jane Lewenberg, national champions, University of Colorado, center.
You need three things to be a great offensive player.
Yeah, three things.
Strength, concentration, and not be ticklish.
All right. It's like listening to a child give the give a joke.
Big Kmart. This is big.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, it is.
Wild.
Where's my Elvira?
That is wild.
Wild, baby.
This is about Bob Hope. Hello, Don and Mike.
Hey, fellas. How you doing today?
Hey, Bobby.
Hey, back in the 80s, I was on a ship that was out in the Persian Gulf.
Yeah.
And Bob Hope afforded to do one of his USO shows, and he had Connie Stevens and Barbara...
Connie, Rob, be quiet. I can't hear this guy. Connie Stevens and who?
And Barbara Eden.
Okay.
And from My Dream of Jeannie.
Yeah.
And he would not take his eyes off her chest, man.
Wow.
I mean, even at like, she was like 52, I think, at the time. I mean, she was still hot looking.
Yeah, I tell you right now, I could fill her bottle, man. Yeah, Jeannie, where are you, baby?
Look at those elbows. Wow, this is big.
Hey, this is big. Little Connie Stevens right here. Come on.
Marvelous.
Yeah, he stared at him the whole time. And then when he was going up onto the podium, he kind of slipped and hit his knee, and he started cursing.
Damn ships. I hate these ships. What kind of serviceman are you? Aren't you grateful for what I did?
MFers.
Calling, ragging on my show.
Nope.
I did a lot for the United States.
Thank you.
Probably went AWOL, too.
Goodbye.
Little disserviceman. What the hell is wrong with you?
This is wild.
Wild stuff.
This fellow is a triple threat in football. He can run around you, over you, or through you.
Over you, through you. Opposing players.
Junior, all-purpose back, University of Pacific.
What a thief.
Yes, sir, this guy's so fast, they printed a zip code on his uniform. They have to change that every couple of minutes.
Very nice, Mr. Hope.
So fast. I can't do it again?
We'll be right back.
Take two.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Hamilton, come over here. What are you doing?
I'm changing.
But you took off your Captain Hook uniform.
Well, I thought I'd put my street clothes on for the drive over to IBM. The uniform's kind of uncomfortable.
Hamilton, you're going over there as a representative of Captain Hook Fish and Chips. Part of our image, part of our appeal is that uniform. You know that.
You really want me to put this stuff back on?
Yes, I do. Show a little pride.
Yes, sir.
The Don and Mike Show.
Hello.
Hello?
Hey, it's hard. We've got a commercial.
Oh, God, I'm sorry.
They take the tongue boat to Tuna Town. Don and Mike.
We got... Sad to say, I look up on the screen here, I see no women calling yet.
Oh, no, because we want to hear a song with the plays.
For the Body Music Fest. Now, we had like a gazillion guys call it and saying that sure. They could play their hands. So, hold on, I take it back. There is a woman online.
Hi.
There is a woman. Her name is Danny. That's a woman?
Danny.
Really?
Yes, it's a woman. I guarantee it.
From Las Vegas. Hello, Danny.
Hello, Danny.
Hello, Don and Mike.
What are you, a Caddyshack?
Yeah. Whenever I hear Danny, I always say that. Danny, would you like to mow my lawn?
Danny, thank you for listening to the show on 105.1 KVBC. Danny?
Yes, sir.
For the Body Music Festival. And we have $100, a Benjamin, for the winner today.
Really?
Are you going to play a song with your place?
Yes, I am. I can actually play, when I stick a straw in my armpit and clamp my arm against my side, I can play Mary Got a Little Lamb making fart sounds.
Hold on a second, Danny. I'm sure you're very good at that, and we'd love to hear that.
But you're not familiar with what we refer to as your place.
It takes a lot of odd positioning to do that for me.
Danny?
Yes?
You see, your place is not your armpit.
It's south of your armpit.
I'm sorry?
All right, hold on. Please listen to this tape. Let me just let me just straighten this out for anybody that's listening right now.
Uh-huh.
I know we just heard a Jerry Lewis tape. We're going to hear another tape now of Jerry Lewis during the telephone.
And for Danny, I emphasize the word listen to this tape.
Here you go, Danny. Listen up now.
You're sitting on my speaker.
Now, leading the delegation, here's our pal, Al Whitehead.
Thank you. Don't say nothing yet, Al. One second.
Just wait.
Give me a wide shot.
Here's the important stuff.
Here in this area. Mr. Whitehead will wait just a moment. Give me a wide shot here showing what I have here, okay? You see what we have here? We have a monitor so that I can see the people that are coming up to talk to me. Alongside of the monitor, notwithstanding the hours that I have to be aware of, we have this large speaker. This speaker helps me hear the people that I'm conferring with. Now, over here we have a stage manager. This young lady has been sitting on the speaker, and I'm wondering why I can't hear the people talking to me.
Listen.
Because they're talking through her legs and up her place. Would you?
Okay. Danny, did you get that, Danny?
Yeah. Yes, I got that.
So they're talking through her legs and up her place.
So when we said, we were hoping you'd play a song with your place, we weren't.
I can't play a song with that place, but I can also play Mary Had a Little Lamb underneath my breath.
Okay. Well, that's terrific.
That's a good place also.
That's great. You can play a Mary Had a Little Lamb underneath your breast?
Yes.
And how will you be doing this, Danny?
I'm going to be doing it topless with a straw.
Oh, Danny.
Who is the celebrity that you think you most resemble?
I've been told it was a cross between Meg Ryan and Gina Davis.
Excellent.
Baby.
The song just improved right there.
So that means you're Amazon, but somewhat feminine also.
Yes.
Because see, what I'm guessing is that you have the tall, at least my fantasy goes that you're tall and kind of lean like Gina Davis, but you'd also be feminine like Meg Ryan.
There you had a
very
little
much so.
Okay. All right. So you're going to be playing your breasts?
Yes, as soon as I get the straw positioned.
Is the straw position crucial to performance?
Actually, it's kind of like playing the bagpipes, except we call them the boob pipes.
The boob pipes.
How did you discover this?
Actually, my aunt learned it, I think, at a company picnic.
Well, family tradition, Buzz.
Passed along from generation to generation.
From ages to ages.
That's great.
All right, Danny, well, we are ready for Mary Had a Little Lamb on your breast.
Good luck, Danny.
I will do my best. Hang on just a second.
Position the phone.
Huh?
Hello? Danny, turn your radio down, please.
Just a minute.
So many things for Danny to do.
Her arms are full.
Very nice.
So bravo. Not a lot of melody, but the sound was exquisite.
So, explain to me how you did that with your breasts and a straw, like a straw that you would use in a
like
soda?
A drinking straw.
Uh-huh.
A drinking straw. It works a lot better with those giant pixie stick straws, because then you don't have to, like, pop your neck out of joint.
So then,
take my bra off.
Okay.
I get a little moisture underneath my breast.
Very good.
I put the end of the straw right about the middle underneath. I bring it up between them. I hold my arm against my breast, and I work it around just like a man would play a bagpipes, working his arm to squeeze the air out of the belt.
Oh, very nice.
Very nice.
That's a good job, Danny.
That's a beautiful start, Danny. Stay on the line, please.
Okay.
Hold on a second.
Oh, Danny girl.
That's our second favorite place, if you're talking about places.
Yeah, it's not the mother of all places, though.
All right, now let's talk to some guys here. This is definitely a guy. Matt, right?
Yeah, hey, how's it going?
Hi, Matt. Going great. Where are you calling from, sir?
KTRO in Ventura.
Oxnard, Ventura, California.
Yeah.
Beautiful. Matt, what do you play?
Well, I can play my butt.
You mean you can fart?
Yep. I played Jingle Bells like a while ago, and I have it recorded.
No, thank you, Matt.
We want to, you have to do live performing on this show.
Okay.
All right, goodbye now.
All right.
Goodbye. Oh, he thought we were gullible like that.
Yeah. Cheater.
No. Okay, here's Brian. Hello, Brian.
Hey, Bobby.
Hey, Bobby. Brian, where are you from?
I'm in Centerville.
Thank you for listening on WJFK.
Yeah.
Brian, what do you play, sir?
I could play a random tune from my armpit.
On your armpit.
Right. Excellent. I think that's what a lot of us grew up playing.
Sure.
All right, sure.
Haven't done it in years.
Any idea what you're going to try to play?
I'm going to try and play Star Wars.
Star Wars would be a great song.
All right.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, this is Brian playing his armpit.
Star Wars.
Here goes. Thank you.
It's uncanny.
That's his arm?
That's Star Wars?
There, I can't hear you when I have the phone down.
Star Wars.
Star Wars.
Hum the melody that you were playing
was
for
that
us.
Close?
No.
Oh.
All right, sing it. Yeah, let us hear what you were trying to play there.
It was the Emperor's. It was the.
Oh, you mean like when the bad guys are coming? So see, we were thinking it would be Star Wars.
Nothing but Star Wars.
But you were doing like when the bad guys are coming.
That's right.
Dun, 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 dun. Yeah.
I wish I had known that. I would have paid more attention.
Hey,
okay.
Hey, but my wife's in the tub. Do you want to talk to her?
No.
Oh, of course. No, I just heard her say no.
She doth protest.
Wow. She does protest.
Sure. Listen, Brian, we're going to do a break. I'll come back to you after the break. Maybe you could soap your wife up or something. That might be worth some brownie points.
Yeah, she wants me to wash her hair.
Oh, very good. Yes. And
wash your hair down there.
Wash her place.
Yeah.
Okay, hold on now. Speaking of that,
yes?
There is a woman who plays her place.
Oh, excellent.
And we will talk to her in our next break as we continue the Body Music Festival. Danny played her breast. Brian played his armpit. Uh-huh.
And Matt dropped out because he had recorded his butt.
All right. Here is, before we get to the lady who plays her place, here's Sally.
Hi.
Who plays the one-note samba with her eye socket.
Oh, cool. Man, I wish it was TV.
We had not added the eye socket into the category, but we will accept it. Sally, where are you from?
I'm in Frederick, Maryland.
So are you listening on what station?
D.C.?
WJFK.
Yeah.
All right, very
beautiful.
Good.
Sally, when did you discover that you had this talent with your eye socket?
As a teenager.
Can you also, like, spit water out of it, too?
No.
Oh, okay. Now, that was on the Guinness Book of World Records.
Yeah. Right.
The guy did it with water out of your eye socket?
He did it with milk. He actually did it with milk.
Yeah. It was gross. Tonight they're rerunning the 300-pound tumor episode.
Oh, really?
In case you missed it the first time.
Yeah. A derm light.
Okay, Sally, you're going to play the one-note samba?
Yeah. Because your eyeball's stationary, you can't get additional pitches. So I chose a song that was monotone.
Very good.
Okay.
So, all right, you ready?
Yes, Sally, right, we're very ready.
I have to get the...
I feel like this is the Guinness Book of World Records show right now.
Here's Sally, everybody. She's doing this with her eye socket.
Wow.
Now I can't see, but...
Oh, God.
Yes. Oh, that's gross.
That is gross.
Yeah, it looks very bad, too. I didn't want to do it while I was driving.
You should come out to one of our Vegas shows and do that up on stage.
Yeah. Do you take the ball of your hand and, like, press it into your eyeball? Is that the way you do it?
Yeah, you cup it over your eye socket. You're best to have your fingers overlapping the bridge of your nose, and then your thumb toward your temple.
That's what I figured.
And the base of your foot resting on your cheek.
That's gross. Like, aren't you going to pop your eyeball out?
No. Okay. They're stationary.
I'm
trying. I can't get the different pitches. If I could do that, I could maybe get highs and lows.
This is funny watching Mike try it right now.
I can't find the note. Okay. I can't find the note.
Hold on, Sally. Hold on a second. All right, that's Danny. She's a lady. She played her breast. Brian played his armpit, played us the Star Wars song.
Right.
Sally just played the one-note samba with her eye socket. Here now is Michelle, who plays her place.
Yes.
Fantastic.
Hi, Michelle. Where are you from?
Sacramento, California.
Thank you for listening on the mighty KHTK. Can you actually play a song with your place?
Well, I'm going to attempt to play Mary Had a Little Lamb.
Oh, very good. That's terrific.
Second time.
You can hold the phone, and I'm going to play this for you.
All right. With her place. With her special place.
Hmm. Right. Duplicating the song that Danny played with her breasts. This is Michelle.
Hold on, and we'll give it a whirl.
With her place.
Ready?
Yes.
Can you hear that?
Yes.
Oh, yes. Please continue.
Okay. Start from the beginning again, please.
Yeah, take it from the top.
Okay.
So to speak.
I heard it.
Yeah. Okay. Mary.
Oh, yeah.
Little lamb.
How was that, boys?
Oh, fantastic.
That was real nice. Now, how would it sound if you had, like, do you have some hand lotion or something, or some,
baby oil?
Yes, yeah, baby oil.
Go get the baby oil underneath the sink.
You have an assistant there, Michelle?
Yes, my wife, Tammy.
Your wife? Oh, you're lesbo.
Yes.
Fantastic.
Very nice.
Bravo. Very nice. Yeah, that was fantastic. Sounded just a little dry to me, though.
Yeah.
They said it sounded a little dry. Okay, go ahead. Rub it on me.
Oh, God. I think we've got a winner right here.
And you let us know when you're ready for the second try.
She's dumping the baby oil inside me.
You want her to check the oil under the hood?
All oiled up, she said.
Okay, let's try it again. Now, here's Michelle going to play Mary Had Little Lamb with her place.
It might be too wet now.
I think okay. So. I think it had the opposite effect, I believe.
Yes. I think that made it a little too wet.
But we appreciate the two tries.
Yes, we sure do.
Bravo, Michelle.
Hold on, Michelle.
Okay.
Now.
Man, how do you top that?
Well, we're going to have to go to a secret ballot right now. We're going to ask Mike and Buzz and myself to write down who we think the winner is.
All right.
And in case of a tie, well, we'll figure that out. Now, here are your contestants. They are Danny, who played her breast.
Right.
Brian played his armpit.
Mm-hmm.
Sally played her eye socket.
Yeah.
And Michelle played her place.
Very good.
Okay, perhaps not as obvious as everybody thinks.
Okay. Silent ballot right now.
All right, and let Rob collect the ballots then.
Right. Okay.
Here you go, Robbie. Didn't mean to make you get up in the middle of the show there, Rob. And I think Buzz is coming in with his. And then Rob can tabulate them and give us the big wiener. Do we have a winner, Rob?
We have a clear-cut plurality.
A clear-cut plurality.
It is Danny.
Danny.
Danny is our winner.
Danny, way to go.
Danny is our winner.
Yes, the sound was too good from Danny's breasts.
Danny.
Well, I forgot to tell you guys, I'm also a 36F.
Oh, wow.
What a job you did, Danny.
Danny.
Yes.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
Your breasts have made you the big wiener. So we have $100 for you, Danny.
What a guy.
For you and your magical breast that played Mary Had a Little Lamb.
Fantastic job. I mean, it was so clear. You obviously have a lot of practice. Well, it's a family tradition.
Yeah, it is, kind of.
Passed down from our Aunt Flo.
The only person in my family that really doesn't like it is my grandmother. She just says she doesn't like it, but she laughs when we do it. Oh, I think she's just jealous.
I bet she does it when she's alone.
When do you all get together to do this, Danny?
Actually, I live out in Las Vegas, and my parents live about 50 miles from here, so about once or twice a week we go out and visit, and that's the first thing we do is we grab straws and we meet in the kitchen and we fart ourselves silly.
Oh, man, that'd be a great, you know, you're in Vegas, that'd be a great opening act for Wayne Newton.
Yeah, I don't know, Wayne probably can do it himself, he's getting so damn old.
Yeah, you're right about that. Hold on, Danny.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
And you can get news, weather, and the latest news and weather on Fox 5 News at noon. And we'll see you again tomorrow. Do drive safely.
All right, winner in the victory table. I can't get it. Ah. Here it comes. It's chicken tikka tikka
tikka. Yeah. The Don and Mike Show. Vintage goodness. It's the best of Don and Mike.
This segment brought to you by Duramax. Duramax Sexual Pleasure and Performance Enhancer is doctor-developed and clinically tested. Duramax works and is available at Rite Aid, GNC, and other select retailers. Try it today. Duramax, 1-888-TRY-VMAX.
Hello, Don and Mike.
Don and Mike?
Yeah.
Hey, what's going on?
Hey, Bobby.
I was wondering about your last Las Vegas style show. Julie ended up coming and kissing Dennis Murphy.
Yes.
And you asked her if there was any chance of her getting some or him getting some buns.
Yeah.
Did he?
No. You know, we're all waiting for that.
We haven't talked to him yet. We will. He's on one of these lines. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hello.
Hello.
Hi, it's Marilyn from Ocean City.
Marilyn from Ocean City.
Marilyn is the girl who tongued Dennis. Remember the girl?
That's right.
66 seconds.
66 wonderful seconds of French kissing Dennis.
Uh-huh.
Well, hello, Marilyn.
Well, I'm wondering how Dennis is.
How was your mouth?
It, one side was a little sore, I have to admit.
There was no tingling or numbness?
Well, yeah, it was pretty numb.
Oh, dear.
Yeah.
Has that gone away yet?
Just barely.
Yeah, it'll take probably a little while, maybe about 10 to 15 years.
That was one hell of a kiss. Well, Marilyn, we're going to get him on the line right now and find out how
he's
doing.
Okay, great.
Okay,
thank you.
Thanks for checking.
Everybody loves Dennis.
Hello. Not everybody, Mike. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Yeah, I was wondering if I could score some blow.
Yeah. Oh, that boy. That came out of left field.
Hello there, Don and Mike Show.
Hello, God. Hi, Mike. How you doing?
There he is.
There's
the man.
Hey, welcome back.
Thank you. Here he is live from the Dewey Beach Miller Lite Beach House.
Hi, Dennis.
Oh, Mike. How you doing?
Dennis Murphy, of course, is the chief detective there. Dennis is going to be in charge of the six strangers that
right.
we put together.
Actually, three strangers.
Oh, only three showed up?
Yeah.
Oh, that sucks.
Well, hey, at least everybody has a bed now.
Well, Dennis, who's there?
Okay, who's here? We got Dave.
Dave? Oh, that's the big fat guy that won the underwear contest.
The guy who won the underwear contest at Blackie. We have Maxie. By the way, it's her birthday today.
Well, happy birthday.
And then we have Robin.
Oh, so it ended up being
ladies.
Two guys and two girls.
Yeah, so, like the movie says, Bob, Phil, Kevin, Alice.
Yeah, okay, Dennis.
Okay.
What are you, he's trying to say Bob and Carol and Ted and Alice.
Yeah, Bob and Alice, you know.
We're excited about talking to you about the beach house, Dennis, but when we left you last, you were going to have, to the best of our knowledge, an evening of love with the lovely Julie.
Oh, by the way, God, did you think Julie was hot?
Yes, I did, Dennis.
How about you, Mike?
I thought she was robo-hot, Dennis.
How about you? Well,
and let me say, when you factor in the Murphy scale...
Yuck.
She's like out of your league.
Supermodel.
I mean, I can't. She's like a leggy supermodel. I can't come up with the words to describe how out of your league she is.
Well, but God, you know, I don't go for the uglies. I like to get the good one.
I tell you, this sounds like a man who has scored that we're talking to.
The question now, Dennis, before we start to interview you about everything that's happened at the beach house.
Yeah.
With the strangers getting together for a whole week. Oh, and do those people know, Dennis, that you're going to be reporting every day on everything that happens?
Reporting everything that happens the whole week, yeah. Everything, every day, and whatever.
The question is, Dennis Murphy, yes. When we last left you nearly 2 weeks ago,
yes.
Did you score?
I slept with her.
Let me rephrase the question.
Yeah, we must ask it again.
Okay.
Did Dennis please be direct?
Okay.
Did you score? Did you have sexual intercourse?
There was no penetration.
Was there?
Did you have, I feel like we're Kenneth Starr here.
Yeah.
Did you have sexual relations with her?
I got the second base.
Oh, jeez.
Second base. Half the guys in the crowd got to second base with her during the show last night.
Oh, no. Thanks a lot.
Oh, dear.
Oh.
So there was no satisfaction, Dennis?
No. Look. Believe me. Well, I slept with her. I spent 10 hours in the same bed with her. So that's
10 hours. He counted. Would you keep waking up every half hour taking a walk?
I woke up in the middle of the night, and I was just staring up at the ceiling saying, I can't believe I'm in bed with Julie.
Can't believe I'm in bed with Julie, and I'm doing nothing.
I know. But she was tired. You know, I was started making,
making your move.
Yeah, I said, hey, Julie, how you going? You know? I was just rubbing her chest a little bit. And,
all right, then.
And the thing is, like, she started going, I'm a little bit tired, so.
Oh, that's what she was.
So I was a gentleman, and I said, okay, let's go to bed. That's what happened.
Oh, why did you try to get her when she was sleeping?
No, I didn't. No, come on. I'm a gentleman and a scholar.
If she was a heavy sleeper, maybe she would not even have known you were there.
She don't snore.
Listen, when you got to second, did she have her shirt off?
Oh no, she had a t-shirt on.
So it was underneath the t-shirt?
if you wouldn't let me go longer, maybe.
Oh, Dad.
Oh, Dad, I think we understand.
She took her clothes off at our show, at a public show, and then when you were alone with her, she opened the top of field through her T-shirt.
Yeah.
The audience saw more.
But you slept with her. You slept in the same bed with her for 10 hours.
It was a
And now she's going to Florida, isn't she?
Actually, in 2 weeks, but I'm not trying to hook up with her.
Oh, I'm sure that'll be successful.
Right.
She said she wants to see me. I spoke with her on Sunday night.
And did she say she wants you?
Actually, I saw her Sunday night, and she gave me a big kiss on the lip.
Really?
Yeah.
No.
All right.
So, hey, there's still a chance.
There's still a chance. The eternal optimist, Dennis Murphy.
Hey, you know, I know it will happen.
You the man, Dennis.
You're something, Dennis.
You are the greatest.
Oh, thank you, Mike.
You are something. I swear to God, you do not disappoint.
I don't know what makes me happier. You know, I really wanted you to get some buns.
Yeah, so did I.
But I'm almost as happy as when you said you got the second base. You know what that is? That's like, yeah, you made it to second, but...
Sure.
Not really the second base.
Yeah, outside of the
really?
T-shirt.
Blow this one, okay?
I think you might have already done that. No, but Dennis, I guess your sense was you couldn't be too aggressive, right?
No, I couldn't be too aggressive. Wait, hold on. Time out.
Mm-hmm. You couldn't be too aggressive with a woman who, during our show, was totally naked dancing on a picnic table, swearing to everybody that she was going to satisfy you that evening. Yet you could not even...
But she was getting over a case of bronchitis, and that's why I was a gentleman and I didn't do anything.
All right, Dennis.
Okay.
All right, well, Dennis, I mean...
We want to know about the Julie Beach House.
Yes, we do want to know about that. Let me put you on hold, and we'll come back and...
Julie, if you're listening, please give me a call.
Hey, Dennis, did she make breakfast for you in the morning?
Actually, we just went our separate ways.
Oh.
So what was I ended up doing, I went to Billy's Sub Shop, then I came home.
Mm-hmm. Billy's Sub Shop.
You went to Billy's Sub Shop and had your breakfast?
Yeah,
or
I'm
an Italian sub.
A sub. A Colin Show, and I went home.
I love you, Dennis. I swear to God. I did.
You got Dennis Murphy.
I enjoy having fun.
You do, Dennis, and you have fun, and we like living vicariously through you.
Can I make you something?
Sure. Through your many failures.
We were at Fabric Island last night, and I got a mention from Batman.
Batman is a disc jockey, a disco disc jockey.
We were at Fabric Island last night, and Robin, the girl who came with us, said, hey, can you say hello to Dennis Murphy?
There you go.
And 100 people were dancing, hey, Murphy,
I'm guessing that guy Batman too, Dennis. His breath probably smells just about like yours.
Actually, he wears a bandana, you know, a bandana and long hair. He's a hippie.
I bet you he'd take his shirt off for you.
Actually, I have my shirt off now.
You have your shirt off now?
Yeah.
Are you still in your towel after getting out of the?
Yeah, I've been waiting for you.
All right, then why don't you go throw some underpants on?
No problem.
Hold on a second, we'll find out.
Excuse me, Nancy gave me a massage on the back.
Nancy gave you a back massage?
Yeah.
Oh, it's getting more interesting.
Mm. But nothing.
Nothing happened, right. And I think technically we're going to rule that a ground rule double, what you have.
Okay,
absolutely.
Ground rule double, that's fair to say.
Ground rule double, maybe a double plug.
Hey, Julie, if you're listening, call on the show and give you a side, okay?
What's her side going to be? I didn't want him to take my shirt off after I got naked for 300 people.
I go moan.
All right. Hold on there, Dennis.
I'll hold just for you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Dennis. Hold tight. Sorry, we're out of time.
Till we meet again, this is Sammy Davis Jr. saying, be kind, be nice, and I hope the next performer has the pleasure of having as nice an audience as you've been tonight. And let me leave you swinging.